The holiday shopping season is upon us, my friends. And when it's time to do a little bit of Christmas shopping to find some toys, you know where I do my shopping? NerdRageToys.com. That's right, Nerd Rage Toys has the most amazing selection of new toys and really rad vintage toys. That's right, these guys have just about anything and everything you could possibly be looking for to either add to your own collection or even buy as gifts for some of your nerdy friends. That's what I do every year. I love tracking down some of these really cool vintage toys and surprising my friends with them. And Nerd Rage Toys has such an awesome selection of that kind of stuff. They've got everything from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, to Thundercats, to Transformers, to X-Men. You remember the Toy Biz Uncanny X-Men stuff? Nerd Rage Toys has a ton of it. They've also got stuff like Masters of the Universe, Mask, Silverhawks, toys from Remco, Toxic Crusaders, Bucky O'Hare. So many incredibly cool vintage toys are all available, some of them mint on card, some of them loose and complete, all of them for great prices. But vintage toys isn't the only thing that you're going to find at Nerd Rage Toys. They've also got some of the latest, hottest toys like Marvel Legends, G.I. Joe, even Star Wars The Black Series. And they've got amazing pre-orders for figures that are still on the way. So where should you go when you're ready to do a little bit of holiday toy shopping? Say it with me, folks. NerdRageToys.com. That's the official sponsor of the Geek Easy Podcast. NerdRageToys.com.
Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geek Easy.
Welcome back to the Geek Easy. I'm Pixel Dan, and as always, I am joined by my beautiful co-host. You're beautiful. Jonathan Leonard. What's up, beautiful John?
I feel a little weird right now.
That's what we call you now.
Oh, okay. I can run with it. I've been called worse.
Yeah, see, there could be a lot worse things that I could have called you right there. And John and I are actually joined by a third guest, a returning guest from the very first episode of The Geek Easy, our good friend Ryan. What's up, buddy?
What up?
It's a blast from the past.
That's right. We're back and we're going to start griping about movies again. I hope everybody's ready for us to hate things.
In fairness, a lot of the stuff we hate is just news about movies, not actual movies.
That's true. That's true. That's going to be a big focus today because there's been a lot of really geeky news about superhero movies lately. Yeah. Just a lot of things that we've been like kind of going back and forth with each other over email and stuff.
Mind-blowing turn of events.
We're like, every bit of this needs to be covered on a podcast. So we should probably start pulling all this information together and talk about it.
Exactly. We get past like 5 emails and we're like, screw it. Let's just do a podcast. Yeah. I'm tired of typing.
Yeah. No more typing.
Well, me and Dan never get tired of typing.
My phone's too small. I can't read.
Very small.
We got to be careful though, because we're so small. We always get to that point where it's just like, oh crap! Remember you said that, so we can say it on the podcast too.
What we should probably just do is bring up the emails and just read them.
Just read them.
Do a dramatization of our own emails.
That's what we should do. Dan says, "Well, you got to play my part, and I'll play your part."
Excellent.
So we'll just really mix it up on everybody.
We have to do them like Morgan Freeman voices.
Screw it. Let's just hire Morgan Freeman. What's he doing?
Never heard of him.
It'd be like those commercials with James Earl Jones.
Get busy living or get busy hating movies.
Like a Twinkie.
Amazing. All right. Well, we got a lot to talk about today, so why don't we go ahead and dive right into it? Because I have no idea how long we're going to spend talking about this stuff. First, let's go ahead and talk some DC stuff, because there's been a lot of DC movie news coming out lately, and there's some things that we haven't even touched on yet.
Yeah, let's start it off on a negative.
It started off
on reach at the bottom.
All right. So if any of you guys listened to the first episode of the Geek Easy, you heard all of our opinions on Man of Steel, and we weren't the biggest fans of that film. If you are, awesome. But I gotta say that building up to Superman versus Batman, I'm starting to feel the same amount of dread, just kind of that we got from watching Man of Steel. It's just a lot of the same kind of stuff that you're like, oh man, I just don't really think Warner Brothers gets it. I think they're doing too much, too fast. So we already had the announcement that Batman was joining the Superman franchise, and he was going to be in the next film, and the working title is Superman versus Batman. But it seems like as time goes on, they're adding more and more characters to this movie all of a sudden.
And less and less direction.
Yeah. It's so random because like this movie started as Superman 2, and they were like, well, this is going to be, you know, we're starting the DC universe with Superman, and eventually the idea is that we're going to build to a Justice League movie the same way Marvel built to an Avengers movie. And then all of a sudden they were like, but we're going to go and throw Batman in there, and that's how we're going to go ahead and start that. So now Superman will meet Batman, and then we'll build to a Justice League movie. Well, this movie just keeps morphing into like, oh, well, now Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman are all going to be there. Yep. And maybe some other guys too, because maybe Flash is going to be there, and maybe some other stuff, but, you know, all this stuff's happening.
Yeah.
So it's just...
And to reiterate what you were saying earlier, just as sort of a disclaimer... if you guys out there listening love this DC stuff, that's absolutely fine. We're not trying to be nearly as condescending about it as we're probably going to sound.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's not an our opinion is all that counts type thing or whatever. It's not what we prefer has to be best, but it's a simple fact of looking at this stuff and what they're doing here. I don't feel that there's any true direction coming in. Like we talked about with Man of Steel, like, did it have its cool parts? Sure. Did it have some stuff other Superman movies were kind of missing? Yeah. I mean, if that's the action you're looking for. There's just a lot of things that went overboard, and a lot of things I don't feel that they really thought through. And every bit of news that comes out about Superman versus Batman, well, I shouldn't say every bit. When they first started, they announced that they were going to do a Man of Steel sequel instead of doing a Justice League movie, which I was fine with. I thought that sort of made sense. Let's branch off and kind of work towards it. Good job, guys. Then they decided they were going to do Batman versus Superman, and that was going to be kind of the bridge. And I really thought that was brilliant when they first said it, because I thought, you know, they're on a fast track. They're trying to catch up to Marvel with the team-up stuff. Doing a Man of Steel sequel by itself and then moving on is another 2 or 3 years you're adding to the process. Jumping straight into a Justice League is a little too quick. What's the perfect bridge there is to just kind of get your two, you know, your two powerhouses together, run with that movie, and then see where you can go. I thought that was a great idea. They cast Ben Affleck as Batman. I am a huge Ben Affleck fan. You will find that out if you listen to this podcast for any length of time. Always have been, always will be. So I thought that was a, you know, terrific little tidbit of news on its own. But ever since then, it just feels like every time they come out with a new bit of news, I feel like DC and Warner are releasing these things like they're these big reveals, but it feels like they're just making everything up as they go along. Like, I didn't get the feeling like, oh, they've been planning this Wonder Woman thing and they finally revealed it. I get the feeling like 3 days ago, Zack Snyder went, I don't know, let's throw Wonder Woman in there. And then 2 days ago, we got the news about who was cast, you know? It's like they don't know where they're going with this franchise, so they're just kind of throwing random news out and seeing what's sticking.
Yeah, it's really strange. And then on top of that, we get the casting for Wonder Woman. So we talk about, you brought up Ben Affleck was cast as Batman, and obviously that created waves amongst the internet. Huge
but
waves.
Good waves. Their movie got talked up heavily.
That's true.
A lot of people started talking about it because, I mean, that's just been the big news thing.
And like, let's face it, the first time they show a picture of Ben in that suit, everybody's going to love it. And everybody's going to go see it.
There has not been a Batman cast yet that has excited people until they saw it. Christian Bale probably took less flack than some, but even then, people didn't know. You know, they didn't necessarily see it just from knowing the name or just from seeing some of his other smaller movies beforehand. Michael Keaton took a lot of flack when he got cast back in the 80s.
Keaton is probably the best comparison here because that was very much the oh, Mr. Mom's going to be Batman.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Well, that was exactly what it was.
Well, that was on the track because they thought they were just going to do the TV version of Batman because that's all anybody ever saw was the campy Adam West.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So they thought they were going to go in that direction. And then they see him in that giant rubber suit, you know, and they're like, oh, no, this is totally different. Yeah.
Right.
And it's, yeah. You put anybody in that suit, they look awesome, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a lot of people jumping to conclusions. I guess, too, because we've also got the difference of coming off of the Nolan Batman films, which were very dark and gritty and very brought into the real world kind of movies.
Yep. Which they're trying to do with Superman. It just isn't working the same.
It's not. No. Yeah. It's slightly different. And I don't know. Everybody wants to compare Affleck to, you know, stuff like Daredevil. Now, Daredevil is a movie that I liked, and I know you liked.
Yep.
Love it.
Ryan likes it. Yep. Most people hate it.
No.
And it's one of the things I'm starting to find out. Apparently our opinions are just different than the rest of the internet.
I think you can accept things for what they are.
Well, yeah, I didn't expect a Daredevil movie to be the greatest superhero movie of all time.
Right.
You know, I expect a Daredevil movie to be an hour and 45 minutes or so of some decent action and you know, fun characters and whatever else.
Go back and watch that movie. Every action scene in there is 30 times better than anything in a Dark Knight movie.
That is no joke. Because I don't even remember why. But it was probably after he was cast as Batman. It wasn't a couple of weeks ago I sat down and watched Daredevil again just because I hadn't in so many years. And I forgot, like that first scene in the club when he kind of wipes through and he's just beating thug after thug up. I'm watching that scene going, man, fight scene wise, this is way more of a Batman scene than anything you got out of the Nolan movies, which is not to tarnish the Nolan movies. It's just they were not built around their hand-to-hand action by any means.
No,
those Daredevil fight scenes are way more Batman than anything you get out of.
That was always my least favorite part about the Nolan Batman movies. It's like all the action scenes are the up-close, shaky cam, can't tell what's going on kind of stuff. You don't even have any real pretty choreographed fight scenes at all.
I always said the same thing when Watchmen was out.
Yes.
And they did that Night Owl scene going through the prison.
That is a Batman
scene. And watching
that
scene going, that is what a Batman fight scene should
be.
You know, that's what you get out of the Arkham games and stuff like that, you know?
Exactly.
That's what we should be seeing on film with those. And not even remembering, you got some of that stuff out of Daredevil already, you know?
Right. Yeah, so I did enjoy Daredevil, but it's one of those movies that I feel like the further we've gotten away from it, the more people hate on it. But I almost feel like it's just because it's become like the cool thing to do.
It's evolved into the butt of the joke.
Exactly. Yep. It's just gotten to that point.
And we're so far removed from it, half the people out there making fun of it probably honestly haven't even watched it.
Right.
Or at least haven't in a decade.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things, I don't know if you guys ever listened to any of Kevin Smith's podcast or anything.
On occasion.
I'm a pretty big fan of his stuff, and he brings it up all the time because, you know, he's buddies with Affleck, and he's a huge Batman fan. So, of course, when Affleck got cast as Batman, he was just, you know, over the moon. But he talks about all the time how, like, the reason that Affleck took the Daredevil role is because he was such a big Batman fan, and he didn't think that he's also a Daredevil fan, but he didn't think he'd ever have a chance to play Batman, so he took the Daredevil role because he thought it was the closest he was ever going to get. So it's one of those things now where it's like he's finally landed the role of Batman, and that's kind of a cool thing.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, but then that kind of brings me to this news story that came out this week. I guess Affleck did an interview with Playboy magazine about his role as Batman, which is like one of the first interviews he's really done about it, because he's really kept quiet about this whole thing while the internet's been raging. He hasn't really said a whole lot, but in this interview, this quote he says: "The only movie I actually regret is Daredevil. It just kills me. I love that story, that character, and the fact that it got effed up the way it did stays with me. Maybe that's part of the motivation to do Batman. If I thought the result would be another Daredevil, I'd be out there picketing myself. Why would I make the movie if I didn't think it was going to be good and that I can be good in it?"
So he never saw Geely?
Yeah! That's the same thing I thought immediately.
Listen, man, you've done much worse. Much worse.
Well, and it immediately brought me to, because another story that Kevin Smith tells constantly is that when they were promoting Argo really hardcore, they wanted to approach Kevin Smith to do an interview about Affleck, and Affleck emailed him beforehand and said, hey, they're going to come to you, they're going to do this interview, do me a favor, don't mention Jersey Girl in your interview. And so it just, like, when I read this, it just immediately brings me to that quote from Kevin Smith. It's just like, really? Daredevil's the one? Because obviously you don't want anybody to know you were in Jersey Girl.
I liked Jersey Girl. I liked Jersey Girl. Quite a bit.
It's no, a it, fun
you
gotta, movie.
You gotta take this with a grain of salt, too, though, because think of the flack that this dude went through for like a 5-year period. Everything he touched or came near, everything in retrospect he had ever done, even the popular stuff, all of it was the butt of the joke, man. He was the butt of the joke for being not quite Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden it was, oh, well, you know, Ben got his Oscar for that, but it was probably just riding Matt's coattails. Armageddon, which was a huge movie and very popular at the time, in retrospect became just the butt of a bunch of jokes. Yep. Daredevil, obviously, Gigli, and anything anywhere near the Jennifer Lopez stuff.
He did Jack Ryan right when Jason Bourne was made. Jason Bourne blew up and Jack Ryan went nowhere.
Yeah, which was ridiculous because Some of All Fears was fantastic. So good. But again, it's just one of those things where like this guy's looking back over his career going, all right, I've built up some respect finally. I've gotten behind the camera, which everything he's done as a director has been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal, you know. I think Argo is probably the weakest of his three movies, and it's the best picture winner. And that's saying a lot because Argo is terrific, you know. But he's got this level of respect that's built up now. And there comes a point where I think you probably have to look back and second guess yourself.
Right.
You know, I don't think he's ever made any I mean, he got swept up in some weird pop culture phenomenon things. The Jennifer Lopez thing obviously was a whirlwind. Around his career and all that stuff, and it's one of those things where it just you become the butt of the joke, and all of a sudden you're the butt of the joke.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's sort of past that phase. He's grown out of it. He's won another Oscar. He's got some acclaim behind the camera. He's getting a little bit of more notice in front of the camera. And I think there comes a point where, just from the way things roll out of there, you kind of want to distance yourself from anything that is that joke.
Right.
So.
And that's the feeling I got when I read that. Like, I didn't even get, like, offended or mad or anything. I read it and I was like, well, I mean, that's a good way to almost kind of pander to that audience that's out there complaining right now. And, you know, oh, no, Daredevil's going to be Batman. Well, you know, this is his way of kind of, like, putting his arm around them and kind of laughing along with them. You know? Like, I know, right? Daredevil is stupid.
Absolutely.
I'm going to fix it. You
absolutely.
Know?
I think he's taking a page out of the Clooney book of being like, I'm past all this. Hey, I'm Clooney. I'm awesome. I was also the worst Batman you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think he's playing one of those cards.
Not totally off subject. It relates, obviously. But it always reminds me of how much guff Bruce Willis gave himself over Hudson Hawk. And the movie Hudson Hawk, obviously. And I don't know how many of you are out there over obscure, old school Bruce Willis movies. But Hudson Hawk is delightful. As long as you're looking for, you know, if you watch the trailers and know what a goofy passion project you're going to get into, that is a super fun movie to watch.
Right.
But it was a big deal because Bruce Willis really wanted to make it. It was a big, like I said, passion project for him. It put a decent amount of money into it. It got zero returns at the box office, you know. So it comes out and all of a sudden it's the butt of the joke. Bruce Willis will come out anytime that movie will come up and he'll tell you what a goof it was and what a mistake it was and yada yada. But I always got the feeling anytime I saw one of those interviews that it was, you know, begrudgingly, yeah, I guess that was a mistake, even though he loved it. And maybe I'm totally wrong. I don't know Bruce Willis clearly. Maybe I'm way off on that. But but that's always the impression I got. And I think sort of the same thing with some of the stuff you're hearing from Affleck these days. When you look back, you're just so used to hearing people rag on some of your stuff that you go, well, maybe it wasn't a great idea. I thought it was fun, but maybe people are right.
Yeah.
And you just got to take that with a grain of salt and understand it's just a guy evolving in his career.
Exactly.
You know?
I agree. And I always try to keep that state of mind, and I brought this up before, like, I always try not to judge this stuff too hard until I actually see it anyway. So I'll absolutely be going into this with an open mind.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about Affleck as Batman, and I'm not going to judge his Batman.
By far the least part I'm worried about this entire movie.
I would have to agree with you, because that's going to bring us back to that Wonder Woman casting. We were just talking about, that was just announced in this last week, who will be playing Wonder Woman. Her name is Gal Gadot. She's most well known for appearing in the Fast and the Furious films. And Zack Snyder made the announcement this past week that she will be playing Wonder Woman in the Batman versus Superman film.
I can see it.
I am not real familiar with this actress, other than she's been in the Fast and the Furious movies.
She's in two or three of my favorite movies, current running. So I don't remember if she showed up in four or five. But, man, do I love me some Fast and Furious movies, and she didn't do anything to hurt those movies.
Right.
You know, she's a very pretty girl. I have nothing against her as a person or an actress by any means, but man, does she not look like Wonder Woman.
That's the problem. Like, even the picture that they're using in all the news articles of her is the worst possible picture to be using to promote a Wonder Woman.
Yeah, unless she's going to get on some HGH and start hitting the weights. I mean, I understand it's like, okay, well, she's a superhero. She doesn't need to look, she doesn't need to be, like, super strong.
But
it's
she's
like,
an Amazonian.
Like, I know, that's the thing. Give me some thickness. I'm okay with that.
Right. She's got the tiniest little arms, and, you know, there's just, it doesn't seem like there's any kind of thought process that went into anything beyond, well, she might be tall, so I guess she's Wonder Woman.
Yeah, and that's the first thing I thought, too, and I think it's the first thing many people thought when they looked at it. And let's go and get this out there before this is any kind of issue. This is not us judging a woman's body or anything like that.
Absolutely.
This has
Okay.
She's gorgeous. She just doesn't look like Wonder Woman.
The point is that Wonder Woman is an Amazonian princess.
Yeah.
She's an Amazon. She's supposed to be tall and beefy and really kind of fill out that Wonder Woman uniform. Yeah. And that is not how Gal Gadot looks. She's very thin.
Yeah, she's no Linda Carter looked terrific.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Now, she could really be, maybe the plan is to really pack on some muscle and everything for this role. You know, I mean, actors do that all the time.
If she does what the men do for these roles, that's fine.
Absolutely.
Which she should.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. And if that's the case, that's fine. Like, I'm not passing judgment as in, oh, this has to be the worst Wonder Woman ever.
No, because
it's just the, like you said, the promotional pictures they're using, this red carpet photo that they're using to push who this woman is.
117-pound woman.
Yeah. If that, man.
Really get me excited.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
So that's not like, it's not like, oh, what a great reveal. Now I know what Wonder Woman's going to look like. It's, oh, man, I hope Wonder Woman doesn't quite look like that.
Yeah.
See, this is what this movie needs to do, is start pumping out some artwork pretty soon to show us what these people are going to look
like. Yeah, Kevin Smith has seen the bad suits. We need to see the bad suits.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that is one thing. He did say, like, the only thing he said about that bat suit is it's one we've never seen on a movie screen before.
I'm guessing it's going to be more like an Iron Man type suit.
Oh, you
it's
think?
Gonna, I think it's like, going to be more mechanical.
Oh, no.
Really?
I don't want that at all.
That's not exciting.
Because
I think that's what they're
going to Kevin Smith says that comic fans are going to like it.
Yeah, I was going to say,
If it's an Iron Man suit, I don't think he's
right. Number one,
comic fans aren't going to respond well to a mech suit.
Well, this is also back when it was supposed to be Batman versus Superman. Obviously, Batman has to get some sort of ridiculous suit to fight Superman.
But I think we're getting away from that. With some of the comic stories and stuff like that, the whole idea was never that they were evenly matched physically. That's absurd. It's
Batman's brains against Superman's brawn.
Right,
really.
But we do go to that. But the whole thing was they revealed the whole movie with doing that snippet from The Dark Knight Returns.
No, but I don't think that has anything to do with the actual movie.
I think that's their problem. They're leading us one way.
Bear in mind, part of our whole point for what we're discussing here is the fact that we don't think Warner has a clue what's going on with their own projects. But I never got the idea that they were actually going to try to do a Dark Knight Returns because it doesn't make any sense.
But I thought there'd be like at least one showdown with them.
Well, there will be showdown.
I'm sure there's going to be.
Him being in a regular suit wouldn't last long.
Well,
it depends on how. There's been plenty of Batman Superman showdowns in the comics that weren't Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah,
but
you're going to put this on the big screen. It's going to have to be something.
It's going to have to be. You think it's going to be like a big real fight, like a
gimmick,
Superman?
There's going to be at least
at least five buildings have to fall down. That's what you're saying, right?
That's why he's going to die immediately.
Poor Metropolis. Maybe they'll take it to Gotham this time.
It'll happen in Gotham? Yeah. That's why he's going to fight.
It'll be property that Bruce Wayne owns, so he'll get the insurance.
It's
more of an insurance
fight. I don't know.
It's one of those movies.
That might be what brings on the fight in the first place. Superman might just accidentally stumble into Gotham. Batman's going to be like, look, I know what you did in Metropolis.
I got to get rid of some of these.
You
got to
get out of my city, you know? So it'll be, it's another one of those things where it's just like, I gotta wait and see what she's gonna look like as Wonder Woman,
you know? And I wonder too, with the promotion they started with of the, we're doing Superman versus Batman, now all of a sudden, pretty early on in the process, because remember that, I mean, the Batman thing was just this summer.
Comic-Con is when they announced
Comic-Con's it. Yeah, Comic-Con's when they announced it. So late summer that was, right?
They don't start film until
They don't start film February. Until next year. So we're very early on in the process here. And they've already announced Wonder Woman and potentially some other big announcements we'll get to in a second here. And that makes me wonder, like, is it Batman versus Superman? Are they waiting to try to reveal that it's Justice League? Are they putting all of this effort into revealing the Wonder Woman thing just so she can show up in a cameo? What in the world are they planning here? Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, nothing.
Nothing that brings her into this world.
Doing this big of a reveal and then just showing her as a cameo makes no sense whatsoever. However, no other option makes any sense either.
I guess if they're shooting for a Justice League movie, that's why they thought Wonder Woman needed to be brought in. Because Wonder Woman, Batman, and Superman are DC's holy trinity.
Yeah, that's their top three.
But the only way you can really bring Wonder Woman into the mix is if something happens in... wherever she's from, what is it? From the Amazon. Yeah, that's the only way you can really bring her in. She can't just show up in Gotham.
They could do anything there, but it's just a matter of...
That makes no sense.
How much time you're going to devote to the character.
Into it.
And that's my problem. They can't bring her in 5 minutes. They got to bring her in as a portion of the movie. So if she is a big portion of the movie, why is it Superman versus Batman with a big chunk of Wonder Woman? Why isn't it?
That's a Justice League movie.
Yeah, exactly. Why aren't they just calling it Justice League? What are they doing?
And we haven't heard any castings yet. But don't forget, they've also talked about Flash heavily. Like, there's been all those rumors about Flash showing up. So
really have
no clue.
It's so weird. Well, and another thing too that I totally forgot to even mention, we were talking about Affleck. Remember the big point about Man of Steel was that Superman was supposed to be the first cape wearer.
Right. Yep.
He was the first superhero.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you for bringing that up. I forgot how mad I was about that.
Then when they announced Batman was going to be part of this movie, one of the things they said was, he's already going to be Batman. He's been Batman for a while. Yeah. He's an older Batman.
They have said that.
They have said that, but they started off by saying, no, he's going to be a young person. And that was what the whole buzz was.
Then they cast Affleck,
and that's where everybody was like, exactly. What the hell's going on? You told us he was supposed to be some young kid, and Superman's the first cape, so where is this coming from? And they're like, no, we changed our minds. Yeah. We're going to make it so he's an older guy. Where I'm just like, that makes more sense.
Which is more proof positive that they don't know day to day what they're doing themselves. Yeah. They're making this stuff up as they go.
Yeah. There's no larger scheme. And that goes back to the starting, because the whole thing was they announced the sequel before the Man of Steel even came out. They just announced a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't announce what they were going to do with it. And then after Superman, they saw all the critics going crazy about it, being like, well, we don't know. It's not that great a movie and everything. And they're like, well, we already greenlit a sequel. How can we save this thing? Oh, we'll throw Batman into it.
How can we save
this?
And it's
like, okay, that's not a bad idea. Because they knew they couldn't do a standalone sequel with what they just did.
And to be perfectly honest, I'm totally fine with him being an older Batman. I'm happy we're not getting another Batman origin story. No. I'm totally fine coming into this world under the assumption that Batman's already been fighting crime in Gotham all this time, because we all know who Batman is.
Well, how is he going to face off for Superman as a kid?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. He needs to already be knowledgeable. Yeah. He needs to have fought his own supervillains.
The only problem with the way they're doing that is the obviousness of the back and forth of what they themselves are saying about it.
That's the only bad omen.
Right.
Yes. That's the only problem, is that it completely contradicts the point they made with the first movie.
But it's so weird
because they did make a big deal about him being the first cape.
From interviews with Ben and them, they were always like, I was talking with Snyder a long time ago and he was showing me stuff about this. And it's like, really? Because it seemed like this was never on the books.
Yeah.
It was always going to be a young Batman. It was always going to be, Superman was the first cape.
Yep.
And then from him spawned all these.
I even remember them making a joke about that, because there was that scene in Man of Steel where, and I don't even remember if it was one of us who made that joke or something I read somewhere else. I don't remember at all. But there was that scene where they flash back to where he was a little kid and he had the cape on and he was running around. And somebody was going, wait, if he's supposed to be the first cape, who is he imitating as a kid? Right. You know?
Well, I think they've even said in interviews, I think Snyder has even said in an interview that like, they didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That was totally just like, we didn't think about it until...
And it's a cool little scene.
Like, it was brought up, you know, after the fact, and it's just like... Because Kevin Smith talks about that all the time, and he brought that up. He did this Yahoo interview thing just recently, which is where he supposedly got to see the Batsuit.
Yeah, I saw parts of that.
He brought that question up to Zack Snyder during that whole thing, because he keeps wondering that. Uh-huh. And basically...
He's probably who I heard that from originally.
And basically, I think Zack Snyder's response was just like... Yeah, that we messed that up. You know?
It's kind of like a little endearing scene where it's like that his dad saw him when he was a kid. So I was like, that's cute.
Yeah.
I like that.
And it was, yeah, it was.
It could have been just him being like,
it wasn't a big point of contention with the movie. Yeah, it was just a funny observation. Yeah.
I guess it doesn't necessarily have to be him pretending to be anybody.
Well,
it was just him.
Been pretending to be Zorro or any character.
That's true.
And it's not, exactly, because it's not like superheroes invented capes.
Yeah.
Right. That's true.
And like I said, it wasn't a big contention. It was just a funny observation, you know. But it does bring into light the fact that they clearly did state he's supposed to be the first cape.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's like, well, we got Affleck, so now he's not the first cape.
Actually, Batman's been around for a while. He's been over in Gotham, and probably that means Joker and all those other guys are over there,
Once
too.
Once again, it just shows that, like, they're just... DCWB are just reacting to stuff.
Reactionary.
Of
they're not planning, they're reacting.
They're just reacting
and that... So, all right, so before we wrap up the Man of Steel talk here, the other news that came out this week is that actor Jason Momoa, I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Conan.
He's the guy who played Conan in the most recent Conan the Barbarian movie.
Khal Drogo.
He is in talks for a role in Batman versus Superman. It says it's unclear what character he's going to play.
It's because of his intimidating eyebrows.
Yes, that's what it is. The speculation is that he could portray either the villain Doomsday or the hero Martian Manhunter, but we can't say for sure given the intense secrecy surrounding the project. So hold on.
Okay, you'll let you go first.
Oh, we've got a ways to go on this one.
Okay, fine. We're casting this guy in the movie. Awesome. How is the speculation that he's going to be either Doomsday or Martian Manhunter? Those are two incredibly different characters that he might play.
Because they're going strictly by body type and nothing else.
They're like, oh, this guy's big enough.
Anything, wouldn't he be like a Killer Croc? Wouldn't you see him as Killer
You know
Croc
what? You know what I what I've heard people suggest and what would not fit in this movie at all, but pure looks, yeah, exactly. But pure looks wise would be my favorite idea. I've heard several people suggest that he looks like Lobo.
Lobo?
And he does look like Lobo.
What?
Look. Exactly. Yeah. Makes no sense to bring him into the movie. But he looks like Lobo.
But why wouldn't Warner Brothers just cram Lobo in here for
Seriously?
No reason?
Yeah. Well, because not a lot of people have ever heard of Lobo mainstream-wise. Yeah. That's why they wouldn't. But I think this guy, too, is proof positive that they are definitely going for looks over substance.
Oh, clearly.
Because he looks like he could be a superhero of varying degree. I could see him as a Martian Manhunter. I could see him as a Lobo. I could see him as any big brawny guy. But I've also, I didn't watch Conan because I saw the trailers and it looked unwatchable. But I've seen him in a couple of things, and he's fine as a side role. I'm not completely dogging the guy. I liked him in Game of Thrones just fine, clearly. But he's not exactly, you know, your next Peter O'Toole. or anything. And I always got the same impression from that chick who was just kind of the side love interest in those Fast and Furious movies. It's the same way. Like, nothing about anything I've ever seen her in makes me assume she can really handle hardcore acting chops, at this stage of her career, at least. So it really seems like they're kind of going over aesthetics more than they're going over any kind of substance. So that's a point of worry might be a strong way of wording it, but it kind of makes me think, like, are they really even screen testing half these people, or are they just looking at pictures and throwing them in their movie?
So Doomsday. Okay, let's aside from
this is internet rumor.
I know.
I will put a 99% guarantee that they won't try to do a doomsday in this cluster of a movie.
I was going to say, the fact that it's already Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman and maybe Flash and maybe other, and then you're going to put Doomsday in there too.
You're going to have to find some character.
That's a bad idea. Well, but look, Doomsday.
They can't do Doomsday.
My problem with Doomsday, and this is the first thing I said after watching Man of Steel, I said if Superman versus Zod caused that much destruction in Metropolis, how could they ever do Doomsday?
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, that level of destruction should have been saved for the Doomsday fight.
Yeah.
And no, man, we just can't do Doomsday now, I don't feel.
I mean, the articles I've seen that have mentioned Martian Manhunter and Doomsday, I get the strong impression that they have just randomly picked out two names of big guys.
You're probably
I don't get the impression they actually have a clue what they're talking about. Now, these movies, nothing these movies do will surprise me as far as bad decision making goes. So if they do end up trying to do that, I can't say I'll fall out of my shoes, but I don't actually think for a second they're going to try to do that. And if they do, it's more proof positive that they're just not paying attention.
Yeah.
Because what is Marvel doing? Marvel is building... Marvel is, yes, but Marvel is building the Avengers 3 for what will end up being a 10-year
track. I was going to say, right?
They planted this seed in the first Avengers. They're going to pull it out to the third Avengers, at least. I'm sure that's where it'll end up being.
Yeah.
They're going to do
the Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah.
Tidbits here and there. They've started to do the Infinity Gauntlet, but they're stretching this out over like 6, 7, 8, 9 movies. Over a 4, 5, 6 year period.
Right.
And they're doing this huge storyline. If DC tries to use Doomsday as their reason for all these huge characters being together in this huge movie, it's more just proof that they understand what is selling, they get all the keywords and the huge concept ideas that they need to put into this stuff, but they do not get the point of any of it at all.
Nope.
Because if they're gonna do a giant Doomsday Justice League story, that needs to be something that is built and stretched. Yes. They need to have established characters. They cannot just decide that Batman and Wonder Woman and Flash and whoever else are with Superman in the second movie.
Yes, exactly.
Fighting this giant killing machine.
Right. Right. Now, maybe if they figured out how to build it, like maybe Doomsday shows up in this movie and then is a problem for the next movie and then the Justice League unites to stop him. You know, they build it over time. That might work out okay.
I would see more of a Darkseid being there.
Darkseid? Yeah, Darkseid obviously would be a good one. And we got to get some Luthor in there. Have to, right?
Luthor has to be in this next one.
It doesn't even have
to be in the main villain.
Doesn't have to be a big deal. He's got to be a presence.
He has to be there.
He has to be something.
Absolutely.
I'm scared, guys.
Well, it's not even just Marvel. I mean, even the Marvel Sony movies and the Marvel Fox movies are so much better than DC.
Yeah.
Spider-Man and X-Men are far better, have it better going for them.
Yeah,
DC
for the most
part.
X-Men's done some stumbling.
Spider-Man
did some stumbling.
It
doesn't seem like they're stumbling right now, though.
But Yeah, they're both working pretty smoothly right now. They're working on a lot of stuff there. They're talking about trying to build. I mean, everybody's looking at what Marvel's doing and going, how do we recreate it? It's just some of them are trying to rush it way too fast, and some of it are trying to actually try to build something. Fox is already talking about the expanded X-Men universe and trying to expand the Fantastic Four universe. I have not read clearly whether or not that's supposed to be like conjoining. Because I've heard how they're trying to do the expanded universe things with both. I don't fully understand if that means that they're trying to combine the two or just do bigger universes within their own realm.
Awesome.
But look at all the stuff they're doing with X-Men.
Yeah.
They're doing an X-Force movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, within the next few years
I didn't even hear that.
Yeah, they're doing X.
There's so many characters.
They're out there writing X-Force now. I think they've already got a director on it and everything. That's coming up quick. They've already got the next two big X-Men movies planned. They've got another Wolverine potentially in the works. And they're working all this stuff together, you know. And it's not quite the Marvel formula, but it's as close as they can get with what they've got. And it's very enjoyable thus far. Spider-Man's doing this huge thing where they're bringing in hopefully not too many villains in Spider-Man 2, because it looks like there's three of them. But they're building towards a Sinister Six.
Right.
So they're really trying to get into the expanded Spider-Man universe, throw some guys in there they haven't seen, some new versions of guys you have seen, and just do bigger and bigger movies, but movies that build towards something, not just movies that are all of a sudden way too big for them to be self-contained, you know? Mm-hmm. But they're working the formula. And it's shown, at the very least, decent results so far around everywhere but Warner.
Well, that's the thing. That was a discussion me and you had over the phone with DC, is they want to go with the formula of the Green Lantern. They want to keep on doing a Green Lantern-type movie with no future.
Yeah.
And that's what they did with Man of Steel, where it's like, well, we're just going to make a movie.
Yeah.
And we're going to use the same formula that we did for Green Lantern, which it basically is the same movie as Green Lantern. It's just, it's Superman. So it obviously had got more people to come see it.
Yeah.
It's no better.
As disparaging as I am about that movie, it's definitely at least way better done than Green Lantern was. Yeah.
But it's just that's their format.
Everybody is learning to plan out four movies ahead of time,
right?
And DC is throwing together whatever they can now and seeing where it goes later, and it's not working.
Exactly.
You know, even if they do make, you know, like I said, if you love that Superman movie, that's fine. It's got its level of entertainment to it, but there's not the same amount of foreshadowing or story building as comes with some of these other franchises, and that's all there is to it. You know, you can be excited about what's coming next, but you can tell that there's not the same level of planning involved.
Yeah, definitely. It's just, oh man, I guess on one hand it's like it's cool to see that Marvel really is kind of forcing all these other guys to try to follow their model, because you know, Marvel, like we've talked about several times, Marvel proved that you can build these movies and you can do them the right way and you can make them feel very comic booky and people will still come to see them, and it works. And they're proving it by making all the money that they've been making with the Avengers movies and everything leading up to it. So on one hand, they're sort of forcing people like Warner Brothers to go, whoa, if we want to get that same kind of money, we've got to follow the same kind of process.
They're proving Warner Brothers wrong by taking characters that nobody's seen on the screen and doing them and showing how successful they are, where it seems like WB over and over again, like, oh, we can't make a standalone Flash movie or Wonder Woman movie.
True.
It's like, why not? It's never been done. Do it. We've seen 7 Superman movies and 20 Batman movies.
Yeah.
Why do you... Maybe that's why people didn't go see Superman.
They're proving
as much
some of these smaller
did.
Characters can be super entertaining.
Right.
Because again, go back to 2007 and tell me who cared at all about Iron Man.
Right.
Answer
exactly.
No one as far as general public goes.
What's your go-to? If they made a Thor movie,
they've made 2 really entertaining Thor movies.
Exactly.
2. Who cares about Thor?
Or at least who cared about Thor before this?
Nobody did. Exactly.
Not very many people.
Exactly. Yeah. You do. A lot of women and everybody else.
Yep.
I know my wife loves Thor.
I've never met a woman who does not like Thor movies.
And that's the thing with DC. Like I said, they're looking up and going, oh, team-up movies are the way to go.
Team-up
and that's
movies.
Not accurate.
Hey, let's go get some
the
actors.
The accurate way to go is, hey, building towards something is popular. Not just throwing a bunch of characters into a movie.
Give us these characters, build these characters, make us care about these characters,
exactly.
And then make us get excited about seeing them all working together.
And the other thing, too, is look at, you know, aside from a couple of the Iron Mans, but like look at Captain America, look at the Thor movies, tremendous successes, commercially successful, studios very happy with them. None of them are record breakers.
No, don't need to be.
Yeah, none of them are like the year's biggest money makers.
No.
Like I said, the Iron Mans are up there.
Double your
but
money. That's
with everything else they're doing outside of the Iron Man and Avengers, they're super happy from a studio perspective, from an accounting perspective, from everything else, just by the fact that they put a moderate amount of money into a movie and got decent returns out of it. You don't have to dump $300 million into every movie you make so you can try to make $600 million out of it, you know? Give a decent filmmaker with a good idea for a moderate Superman movie $140 million and see what creatively he comes up with. Don't just keep throwing money at a problem and hoping that you can pay for it to be interesting.
Yep, exactly.
I love Zack Snyder.
I love him too.
I love The Watchmen.
Yep.
That's for sure. The Watchmen's still one of my favorite. Look, that's the best DC movie out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bar
none. It's not hard. The material's in front of you. Just put that on the screen.
Yeah, I know.
It's storyboarded for you, too.
I feel like that. I feel like that movie is so
half your pre-production is already done.
Watchmen is so underrated. So good. I mean, it's just it's. I love that movie. It's one of my favorite comic book movies. Yeah. It's something that Warner Brothers. It's something that Warner Brothers and DC did right as far as movies go, and. It's just like it sucks because I don't think enough people cared about it. So Warner Brothers is like, nope, that's not the right way to do it.
And really, and we're getting back into speculation because I don't know any of these people. I've been within a few feet of Zack Snyder, but I can't say that I know him.
Yeah, yeah.
But the stories I heard about Watchmen when they were making it is it's one of my favorite Hollywood stories of the last several years. Is he was doing all the storyboarding. He was sending all of his project art and everything up to the brass at Warner Brothers. And they kept sending him these weird little post-its and little notes about changing this and that, and he couldn't figure it out. So, you know, a week or so goes by, and finally he calls somebody, and he's like, hey, we're doing all this stuff, and you guys seem pretty happy, but I keep getting these weird notes about these odd changes that I'm not going to make, and I don't, what, you know, what is the deal? And the, you know, whoever at Warner called, you know, he was talking to says, well, we really love what you're doing. We love the look of it and everything. We just don't understand how you're going to get a PG-13 with some of this stuff. And he goes, oh, we're not.
Yeah.
That's not the movie we're making. We're making Watchmen here. We've got to do it right, you know? And that's the Zack Snyder that I was really excited about working on a Superman movie, and I'm not 100% sure that that's the Zack Snyder that showed up to work on the Superman movie. Because I get a strong feeling that he's got a pretty good idea what he needs to do and is handcuffed into not doing it. Now, maybe that's because I love Zack Snyder, so I'm trying to take any blame off of him. And maybe that's fully accurate. I'm not sure which. But I really get kind of the impression that Warner has their hands in this pot and don't know what they're doing.
No clue.
Ryan, we've talked about this for a long time.
Ryan's best friend with Zack Snyder.
Best friend.
What does your buddy Zack say about all that?
I talked to Zack. Call me on the phone. No, I agree. I understand. Here's the thing. They gave Nolan free range. Didn't question anything he ever did, which that somebody should have.
On that third one, they should have.
For the third one, they should have.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Man, Heath Ledger dying really threw a wrench into their plans. But yeah, give Snyder free range, but tell him just to lighten it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. But then again, when you're doing the Batman, bringing in Batman, it's like bring in that dark stuff.
Yeah.
For Bruce.
It's a corporate interference type thing. And I'm not anti-corporate. Ooh. You know, DC wants to make their money, that's fine. It's just, again, look around at the actual formula, not just the results of what's going on.
Exactly.
The ones that are successful out there are the people who find guys who love the source material, have a solid idea, don't need a mega budget to pull it off, and can put together, you know, a real solid movie that they know from a fan perspective they and everyone else will enjoy.
Right.
Not just somebody who goes, well, all these names are pretty big and we can sell some toys, let's throw it in there. That model has destroyed Warner comic movies for decades.
Right.
Look
at the Batman. It's a perfect example of a studio stepping in and telling Schumacher, hey, we know you can make a good movie. You've made great movies before. But we want to sell toys. Make this movie. And him being like, I'm going to be a studio clerk and I'll do it.
And it's a different era, too, as far as the toys are concerned. Because let me tell you, the toys that they've made for the Superman movies and the Batman movies haven't been very good. And they don't sell that good. If you walk into any toy store during the time that those movies are out, you can see that they're just clogging the shelves. Mm-hmm. They're not moving. They all end up in the clearance aisle. So making these movies to sell toys isn't a proper model to do that, especially this day and age. Toys are too expensive. Kids aren't buying a lot of toys, especially when they're as crappy as they were. They're just not.
It's more proof positive. Yeah, look at it and they don't know a good movie versus a good toy. They just know the branding. So they go, well, we got this movie, made a bunch of money, and we'll sell some toys for it. They don't take the time to go and put out a real good toy for it.
Exactly. Right.
You know, something reasonable for people to buy.
I go back to the argument, well, not the argument, but the question you had for me when you asked me, what is better, Watchmen or Avengers? And I'm like, oof.
It's tough. You almost can't put them on the same.
But then you broke it down, and I was like, okay, well, I have to think of this as what can I watch every single day? And I could watch Avengers every single day of my life and be so happy because it's so much fun.
Yeah.
It's so enjoyable to watch. And it's so complete. But I love Watchmen so much. But I can't watch Watchmen and have the joy I did.
That's true. It's a different
animals.
Totally different animals. Yeah.
I know, but DC needs to go that route.
I love. Yeah. I could watch.
Yeah, there needs to be a fun DC movie that you can just pop in on any day.
Oh gosh, and that's what we kept saying about Superman. I think that was the worst thing that Superman. That was the worst offense of Superman is it was completely joyless. And he's supposed to be the bright, colorful, you know, go USA, go America kind of superhero. And that movie was like a freaking Batman movie.
But that's what I didn't understand. It's like you want to have that. You want to have that conflict between those two.
Exactly.
That's what makes it awesome.
So that's their polar opposites of each other.
How dark is Ben Affleck's Batman going to have to be?
Yeah,
if to be Superman darker than that Superman.
I know.
That's what's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
It's like, is he raping and killing people in the streets?
It's like he only fights child murderers. That's it. That's the only thing he fights.
Because, I mean, Superman killed somebody.
Yeah.
Batman's never killed anybody. Well, no, not this Batman definitely has to like just completely rip people's heads off now.
No kidding. That's not something I didn't even think about that. This Superman has killed somebody. Is Batman going to stick to his no-killing policy?
He didn't through any of the other movies. Like, literally, not just the Nolan ones, the Burton ones.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
All these all the cinematic Batmans have killed much with reckless abandon.
Yeah.
True. Oh, man. Well, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how this develops, and we're definitely going to be keeping tabs on it, obviously, because
I will be so surprised if it's not horrendously bad. Other than Ben, which I will enjoy every moment he's in it. Because, I mean, you look at it. I mean, you've seen buff Ben in the town. It's it's insane. When he gets fit, he zeroes in and gets fit.
That's the bright spot of that whole thing. Is one of two things is going to happen. This movie's going to surprise me and be fantastic, and I'm going to love Affleck in it because I'm a huge Affleck fan.
I hope that's what happens.
Or it's going to be what I think it's going to be, and just the mere fact that Affleck is in it is going to set the internet ablaze. And just from an angle of spite, I'm going to enjoy the fact that he's in there. So either way, Ben Affleck's already my favorite part.
Exactly.
Either way, the movie's going to be good, or you get to argue with the internet nerds that are mad
exactly.
at
him. Our whole hope was that they would spawn this Batman vs. Superman movie into a Justice League movie, and that would be directed by Ben. But now it seems like this is just going to full-on be a Justice League movie.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
That's totally
is.
What it
How
seems like.
How can you avoid
doing?
It? What are you going to call it? Superman versus Batman versus Wonder Woman?
I hope that's the
Superman
sign.
Superman versus Batman versus Wonder Woman with Flash with Green Lantern.
Yeah. I hope that's the title. Like, seriously?
And also Doomsday. They'll put that at the end of it.
Versus Doomsday.
I just want to be there when people are ordering tickets. I want one for all those superheroes.
All those superheroes. The latest from DC Comics. All those superheroes.
Man, they have no idea.
Let's change to a positive.
Let's
for
do
a while.
That.
All
right.
What do we have that's positive on the board?
We've got to stop getting together and griping.
I know, right? Well, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll kind of collect ourselves here. And then we will come back to talk about some Marvel movie news.
Right on.
Are you tired of buying from unreliable sellers on those big online auction sites? How about scouring the internet for that one figure you need, only to find it for 3 times the retail price? If you are, then stop by NerdRageToys.com. We specialize in new and vintage toys and collectibles. We have hundreds of items from popular lines like G.I. Joe, Star Wars, Transformers, Thundercats, He-Man, Ghostbusters, and more. Our items are priced to sell and ready to ship. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or sign up for our weekly newsletter to stay current on all of our site news and updates. Nerd Rage Toys, stuff for nerds.
Alright guys, welcome back from the break. So now we are going to get into some Marvel news for the day, because there has been a lot of Marvel stuff to talk about too within this last week here.
Movies based on Marvel Comics, not Marvel Studios.
Yes.
Okay, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Everything we're going to be talking about today is not Marvel Studios stuff.
Yeah,
It's actually Fox and Sony stuff.
It's the stuff they sold off before they realized they could do it better themselves.
Yeah.
Still doing it well.
Oh, yeah. There's
way
a lot
better
in
DC,
here.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I still wish it was all Marvel Studios stuff. Though,
oh,
man.
For sure. But, gosh. But we have some good things happening.
Very good
things. And we did just have a big discussion, actually, about Days of Future Past and how excited we are for that movie.
Yep.
So the breaking news that came out this week is that Bryan Singer revealed that the next movie that will be following Days of Future Past will be titled X-Men Apocalypse.
Yep, coming 2 years later.
May 27th, 2016 is the set date. I think the funny thing about it is he actually announced the title before the studio announced the release date. So I read an article that basically said Bryan Singer kind of spilled the beans on that. About the same time the Spider-Man teaser trailer launched. It's almost like Bryan Singer just needs to make sure that his news is getting out there at the same time as all the other ones. Because the Amazing Spider-Man trailer came out, and then Bryan Singer was like, "Hey guys, everybody, guess what? Next X-Men movie is X-Men Apocalypse." And Fox was like, "Oh crap! Release date, May 27th, 2016.
Which is it's amazing how much stuff revolves around publicity.
It's hilarious. Yeah, yeah.
Instead of just always letting your product speak for itself.
It's always fun when that news starts to pour out, though, because you get those big announcements, and then all of a sudden you realize 3 days later that you've gotten four more in tow, and you don't even realize that it's all coming in bunches like that until it's all in your lap, you know?
Exactly. Right, right. Now, we don't know exactly what this movie's going to be about, but it's got the name Apocalypse in it, and for anybody who's familiar with the X-Men, they know that that is a bigger villain character from the X-Men universe. And the most popular storyline involving Apocalypse was the Age of Apocalypse storyline. So there's already a bunch of speculation on if this movie's going to kind of take from that storyline or if it's just going to involve the Apocalypse character. But with Days of Future Past kind of being the big time travel story that they're doing, obviously the big speculation is that the ending of this movie is what's going to set up the Apocalypse storyline somehow.
Which, and again, I'll go back to my comic roots, but remind everybody that A, they're a long time ago, and B, I was never a huge X-Men fan, but
right.
The Age of Apocalypse was sort of an alternate future, whereas the Days of Future Past took place a lot in the time traveling from present to past. So it's kind of like they're mirror stories of each other, almost in a way. They don't necessarily revolve around the exact same storyline, but it's like, you know, you got that one where you go into the future or into the past to try to fix something, and the next one is what happens if something happens to screw up your future. So there's kind of some neat contrast there if that is the way they're going to it. Like I said, they've announced Apocalypse as the name of it, so you can assume Apocalypse will be involved. I don't think they've officially said it's based on Age of Apocalypse. Everybody's just kind of assuming that.
People are just assuming.
Yeah.
One thing that was cleared up, though, since the initial announcement is that Singer did come out and say that the movie is going to focus on the cast of the First Class film.
Okay.
It's going to focus on the First Class cast.
Okay.
So that's an interesting subject, I guess, to take away. And it almost makes me wonder if that does play into the ending of Days of Future Past, you know, how that whole thing's going to play out, and if this is going to spin off into the Apocalypse movie, and it's going to be all about the First Class versions of the characters.
Well, and think about it, if the point of Days of Future Past is that the present day characters are going back in time, or if they're sending Wolverine back in time to try to fix something bad that's happening, and then they end up going back and screwing it up even worse.
Yeah.
And leading to an apocalyptic future. True. You know, that could be very neat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
It's crazy.
Because I am with the majority of audiences and not knowing a damn thing about Days of Future Past or Apocalypse.
Yeah. Well, and I know we don't have the cameras running, so you guys can't tell, but when we start talking about time travel, Ryan's eyes start spinning in circles. It's like Austin Powers from that scene. He's like, "Oh no, I've gone cross-eyed.
I've gone cross-eyed." I'm serious, but that makes it even more fun for me because now I can just go into it like everybody else in the world, being like, "I have no idea what's going on."
That's the super fun thing about these movies is I'm in the perspective, like I know just enough about these storylines to have an idea of what they're sort of supposed to be about. But I know just little enough to where they can do pretty much anything, and if it's cool, I'll be happy.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, because I don't know it well enough for it to be ruined, you know, by them changing
things
here and there.
And I'm even a little bit further away from it to where I'm like most of all the audience when they go and see this, where it's like, you're going to have to do some amazing storytelling for me to understand this.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Because from a comic book perspective, I know nothing
so
about
you
this.
You are the target audience.
I am the target audience.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Not us.
So I will be the judge of this one.
There you go.
Yep. We are the side faction that they hope is also
I know
also
the characters.
Pleased.
I just don't know anything about this storyline.
Right.
Whatsoever.
Well, the just to give everybody kind of a brief synopsis of the Age of Apocalypse storyline. It was set in a parallel reality that John mentioned that was formed by the interference to a timeline where Professor Xavier was murdered before he formed the X-Men. And instead, Magneto led the X-Men team in a post-apocalyptic America. So that's the story of Age of Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. If that's the story of the movie, that's going to be interesting. I don't see them killing off Xavier unless but they would. I would assume that that would mean they would kill off the younger Xavier.
Potentially. And that's what I was just about to bring up, being that this is based on the First Class cast. I was going to say that makes me happy if they've got McAvoy and Fassbender back again, because those guys have both kind of gotten big enough where you wonder if they'd be doing more and more if they weren't already contractually bound, and I don't know that they are. But that could also be an interesting perspective on it, too, where maybe they're not using those guys. Maybe those guys are the ones who don't survive.
That's true. You know? Maybe so. Yeah. Maybe so.
Maybe neither, maybe both. Now, Apocalypse is supposed to be, the character himself is supposed to be like one of the first mutants, right? Like from Egyptian times?
I think so.
And part of his mutation or part of something he did is to become immortal somehow. Mm-hmm. And over all the centuries, he's just grown more and more powerful. I do not remember how he caused the post-apocalyptic future or what exact role he played. I just know he was big and tough and scary.
Yeah.
And everybody feared
him.
Well,
he had his four horsemen, right?
Yeah.
And that's where we got, like, Archangel from. Yep. Like, he turned Angel into Archangel.
Yeah. Yep.
Which, that could be interesting if we get to see stuff like that, you know? That could be a lot of fun. But, I don't know, it's interesting. Another thing that the article does mention is that, you know, in Days of Future Past, we're getting characters like Bishop, who played a big role in the Age of Apocalypse storyline. Yep. So this stuff all could very well be setting up for this movie.
Yeah,
to play into that storyline, you know?
Yeah. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, and it's cool. It's cool stuff to just learn about as you go, you know? And this will be a really fun one, too, to kind of learn about from the movies and then go back and compare and contrast with, you know, what you find out from the comics.
Yeah.
This will be a really fun one to go back and reread closer to when the movies come out.
Absolutely.
All that sort of stuff. I'm going to have to do that with this one, too. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I am planning to read Days of Future Past before I go see that. Just to see the similarities, you know?
Yeah, and that's only a two-issue series anyway, so that'll be a real quick read.
Yeah.
And we discussed this just a little bit earlier, and I wish I would have gone and found some of the details on it, but my understanding is that they are pretty far into the planning processes on trying to do an X-Force movie also. And I don't know if they have a release date, but my understanding is they at the very least have a director, and they either have a script or the guys are working on the script now. And I know, as we discussed earlier, all of these studios are working towards, at least looking at the Marvel model of kind of those expanded universe things.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm right about that, I'd want to check the release date and see if that's coming somewhere in the middle, if there would be any kind of X-Force crossover involved in that, because wasn't Cable a pretty big deal with
X-Force?
X-Force and with the Age of Apocalypse?
Yeah.
So you wonder if there's any spillover with stuff like that also.
I don't know. I think we're just entering a really cool time.
Yeah.
We can pretty much pull any comic book character out and make their own movie, and this is the new action movie.
Well, this is, and yeah, like,
there's
you're
no
right.
fear.
You're
there
right.
There should be no fear. That's why I don't understand DC's fear of making standalone movies.
Well, hopefully they're learning, you know, or hopefully they're at least, like, they're figuring it out.
Yeah,
that's we're still
X-Men,
keeping our fingers crossed.
X-Men
for that.
Are throwing in characters that. Well, the regular public have never.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're starting to do the thing now. Exactly, like it's the same thing I talked about, where like Marvel Studios is basically showing all these guys, look, this can work, and is forcing all these guys to follow the same kind of format. Because honestly, this has fixed the X-Men movies.
Yeah,
you know, they spun way off the rails with X-Men 3 and Wolverine Origins, and all that stuff was just not so good. And then all of a sudden, they started getting themselves back on track with First Class, and then the Wolverine was good.
Yep.
And now we've got Days of Future Past coming out, which is like the first X-Men movie I've been excited about since X-Men 2.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because I swore after Origins Wolverine came out that I'd never be excited about another one.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that there's been a couple of good ones, I've refused to be excited about them until after I saw them. This is the first one where I'm finally allowing myself to actually be pumped up for it going
and
into it.
And it's amazing how they've stuck with the cast.
Yeah.
Like they're sticking with the original
cast. It's pretty cool. Like, they've totally, we talked about this too, they've totally spun their own movie universe, like their own version of the X-Men in the movies, and they've stuck to that.
Well, I think it helps too that none of them have dipped in money-wise. They've never lost money. X-Men 3 made the most out of the first three.
Isn't it always ridiculous how that happens when you have these big franchises and you look back at some of the ones that were the most panned by critics and audiences, and you look back at the returns and go, well, man, it made twice as much as any of the other ones for whatever reason.
Batman Forever and Batman Robin. Yep. So much money.
Yeah.
so much money. I saw Batman Forever like 4 times in the theater.
That
was the first movie I saw more than once in the theater.
Forever was just good enough to be enjoyable. Good. Still, yeah. Like,
but that just goes back to. But it's funny. But I will stick. I will give it to Fox for sticking with the original cast. Everybody is the same, and the cast is still very excited.
They're
to be
sticking
in
to
it.
The original cast, and they're for the most part sticking to all the story elements that they've created.
And
you're
bringing in new characters,
and you know what I mean. It's interesting, and it's weird because like. They did take a dip, but instead of just letting it all go and retconning the whole thing, they're mm-hmm. like, no, let's stick with what we've got, but we'll make it better. Yeah. We'll improve it.
Yeah, and I think they will.
Yeah, and it seems like it's working really
well.
Well,
you get Singer back into it.
That's
and
true.
It's oh, good. Man, the Singer news was the best part about all of this.
I think it's a perfect combination, too, because it's Fox being like, okay, let's get the original guy back here. And it's also Singer, who hasn't really made a great movie since... Superman Returns, X-Men era.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
He's since kind of 06, been down in the dumps, too, but it just seems like...
He made Jack the Giant Slayer, which was kind of panned.
Well, that's and, another studio problem, I think, too.
Probably. And then I can't remember. There was something else he made.
Did Valkyrie.
Oh, he did the Valkyrie,
bad.
Yeah.
That was just...
Which I never
bad.
Saw, but it was another one of those where I heard... the only thing I remember about Valkyrie... Is they had gotten a bunch of permit because it was about a World War II.
It was about the assassination of Hitler.
Yes, but it was based on an actual German soldier that was who was sort of a folk hero in Germany, and so they had gotten permission to tell his story and to use all these actual locations in Germany to tell the story. And they were all ready to go, and then Germany found out that Tom Cruise was playing the guy, and Germany went, "No, we don't want you here." Whoa. And so they had to find a bunch of different locations to go and do the filming.
Oh my gosh.
They already had one nutball in that country. Yeah. Like, no more.
That's
another example of, hey, let's hire a whole bunch of British actors to play a bunch of Germans.
Yeah, exactly.
That was hilarious.
Anyway. I'm doing some mid-podcast research.
Okay.
On my regular-sized phone.
And, he says that because his phone's huge. It's like a TV.
It's an LG Intuition. You should all go buy one. It's been fantastic.
Do we have the rights to even say that?
I don't know. Hopefully LG will send me a check. We'll find out. Or just a bigger TV.
Yeah.
But they certainly won't send me a bigger phone. But the X-Force movie, from what I can tell, IMDb has it listed in 2016, which would be the same year as X-Men Apocalypse. Now, I don't believe... IMDb is a terrific source of movie news for things that have already come out and exist.
Right.
They are a terrible source of movie news for things that are projected, because they will just put up whatever they hear, you know? So I can't keep that date in mind. I can't find a firm date. I can find a couple of instances of script reviews. So they're past the scripting phase, and take this for whatever it's worth to you if you're a comic fan, but apparently Rob Liefeld loves it. Which could be good news because Liefeld created X-Force, or could be bad news because Liefeld's kind of a joke of the comic world.
Yeah, I was going to say Liefeld is the big joke of the comic world these days, it seems. So.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, they're clearly working on it, they're moving towards it. I don't know what the relation will be to the current running X-Men movies, but I know that it's in the works, and that the idea is to try to do more of the... bigger universe things within all the studios. So.
See, look, that's great. Now, if we can just get them all to be together in the same universe, I'd be even more happy. If these guys could all show up in an Avengers movie one day, I'd be thrilled.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, how awesome would it be if they did, like, a World War II movie with Captain America and Wolverine?
Oh, man.
It would be so awesome!
Oh, man. Man.
I'd be all over that.
I don't know why that just popped in my head.
My heart just skipped a beat.
Oh, jeez. All right, so speaking of Wolverine, that's a perfect segue.
Nice segue, Ryan.
Nice segue into the other bit of news that came out this week. Apparently, Hugh Jackman is unsure about how many more movies he's going to play the role of Wolverine.
He kind of should be. He's getting up there. he's probably tired of working out.
He's
so
played
much.
Wolverine in more movies than anyone has ever played James Bond in.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I read that the other day. Yeah, well, I think he's up to...
Roger Moore was in 7. I don't count X-Men First Class.
Okay,
so
you count that. That
no,
counts.
That's,
that,
no,
no,
he
that
was
that
Wolverine.
Counts.
I don't count it.
He was
well, you may not,
movie.
But it does count.
No, it does not.
Yeah,
that
means it totally
he's been
counts.
Cameos don't count.
Totally counts.
No, it doesn't.
Totally counts.
It does for the contract. It does it for me.
Okay, well, aside from Ryan's yeah. feelings, that means he's been in 6 movies, plus if you count Days of Future Past, that's 7 movies as Wolverine, right?
Oh,
there.
Yep.
Because that's 3 X-Men movies, 2 Wolverine movies, First Class, and then Days of Future Past.
Yep, that'll be 7.
So that's 7 First movies where he's count. Been Wolverine. 6 if you're Ryan.
Just because you show up on set for 2 hours doesn't make it mean that you've been in a movie.
So he's only contracted through Days of Future Past. He hasn't signed any contracts to play the character beyond that movie.
Yeah. Which is fine.
And the quote from him says, "I don't know whether or not I'm going to do this next movie." He's talking about the 3rd Wolverine movie that's being developed right now.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "I'm really proud of the Wolverine, and I'm really excited to develop something with Jim Mangold from the beginning because that is a great ride. That's exciting to see what we come up with, but I have a very high expectation of what it would need to be for me to star in it. And if it doesn't reach those, I yeah. won't be doing it."
Now, let me go ahead and give you my interpretation of this. And remember 2 things. I don't have any way of actually knowing any of this stuff, A. I haven't talked to Hugh yet. And B, I'm really good at knowing this stuff. This is not anything I have any concern over at this point. Hugh Jackman's done this for so long, but he's always loved doing it. He's never been that guy who goes, "Well, I don't want to get typecast. I don't want to." And he's not getting typecast. He still does whatever he wants
exactly.
to do.
He gets nominated. You know,
yeah.
He gets an Emmy role.
Yeah,
he
hosts the Oscars. He gets nominated for Oscars. You know, he does everything. He's a song and dance man.
How good was Prestige?
He'll do musicals. He'll do dramas. The Prisoners. Very good.
He'll
probably
get nominated
yeah.
for that.
Prestige
too.
Was so good way back in the day. All this stuff. This is not something that has been any kind of hindrance to his career. Now, having said that, he's been doing it for a decade. Eventually, you kind of just want a little bit of a break, and it seems kind of a continuous thing. However, even if that break is coming, I don't think that break's going to come from the first time he starts to talk about it. Plus, he even says in that quote, he's looking really forward to developing something from the ground floor, to getting together with Jim Mangold, who made the Wolverine, and coming up with a story. There's no way those two are going to get together and come up with a story that he's excited to create, but isn't excited to star in.
Because that guy doesn't make bad movies, too.
No, absolutely.
I don't
think
he's made
one
bad movie.
Even if he's not sure of it yet, he's going to start working on this, and he's going to go, "Yeah, you know what, let's give it a couple of more goes."
Yeah.
I
don't think Fox is going to let them make a bad movie, too.
No, well,
I don't think they're going to let them make.
At this point,
Origins.
Let's hope not.
I mean.
They let them make a couple of stinkers.
Yeah, I don't think this is bad news at all, hearing him say, "It's got to be the right movie for me to want to be in it." To me, that reads, "Look, I'm not going to do another X-Men 3 or Wolverine Origins."
That's
what it sounds like
absolutely.
To me, you know?
Absolutely.
Like,
and
if it's a good Wolverine...
Wants to.
Yeah, exactly. If it's a good Wolverine story, yeah, I'll be Wolverine again.
Yeah.
That's the way it reads to me. And
absolutely.
I am perfectly fine with that.
And
that
I am perfectly fine with X-Men Origins Wolverine. I really do love that movie.
Really?
Really?
I really do.
Oh,
who invited him?
Lee Schreiber, man.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
Lee Schreiber's great.
Awesome.
Come on, man.
No, I back it.
Wow.
Off topic a little bit. I don't know if you guys saw this yet, because this movie just came out. The Wolverine just came out on DVD and Blu-ray this past week, but I guess that there is an alternate ending that they changed for the movie, because you guys have both seen the movie.
Yeah.
We've already talked about it on the podcast, so this is a little bit of spoiler territory, but that end scene where he gets on the plane with...
What's her name?
Oh my gosh, I can't remember her name right now.
One of the best parts of the
anyway,
movie.
Anyway, there's a part that they cut out of the final cut where he gets a briefcase from her and he opens it up and it's got the actual Wolverine costume in it. The tan and
brown
oh, really?
Mask. The mask is in there and
why
the uniform's in there.
In?
But it's a special feature on the DVD and Blu-ray apparently where you can see that alternate ending.
Do you know
so like he gets given the actual Wolverine costume.
Well, Fox, you just made yourself $20.
I know. And, like, that's really exciting, but I guess they decided, nah, let's not do that. They cut it out.
That's kind of good. I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that for the future.
Because it's such a kind of a tease.
Yeah, so I'm okay with that.
Is
he ever going to wear that thing?
It looked cool, too. Like, the still shot that I saw of it, because it was one of those articles that was promoting the DVD or whatever, and they showed the still shot. They're like, Wolverine's comic costume finally revealed, you know? And, like, it showed it looks really cool.
And it would make more sense, too, being like a ninja type suit that he
gets. That's awesome.
Yeah, and the brown and tan costume is my favorite Wolverine costume.
It's cool.
Oh yeah,
love that costume. But
it's more organic looking.
It's so neat. Yeah, it's better than the bright yellow and blue. You know, it's not so.
Yeah,
I like the darker tones.
It's not so.
It just feels
like sell
feels,
to kids
yeah.
comic book it's, color.
Yeah, there you go.
It's fine. We understand what it was. We don't expect to see that in the movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not worried about him not being Wolverine anymore. I will say that if he decides to stop and they have to replace him, it's going to be hard to accept a new Wolverine at this point because I love Jackman's Wolverine.
Oh, everybody, who doesn't?
You know?
Yeah.
But then again, I don't think anybody's going to be too upset if they do put somebody in the role.
Yeah.
That's my
make
deal.
Make him a side character.
I am looking forward to, and I almost count Andrew Garfield, but not exactly. I'm looking forward to the first big recast of one of these, kind of mid-franchise or whatever else, or something like that, because of the fact that these movies are forever. I mean, comics go on for decades. There's no reason to ever stop making these movies.
Never.
There comes a point where you're going to need new guys to take over the mantle.
That's true.
Now, like I said, with the Garfield was kind of sort of like the first instance of that, but since they completely redid the origin story, it's almost like it's its own whole new thing, which is still a decision.
Problem,
yeah, it's
honestly
still a decision I disagree with. I loved Amazing Spider-Man. I still don't think they should have done an origin story. I don't think every time they recast it, you know, you don't have to have another Wolverine that is playing Hugh Jackman's Wolverine.
You can do
new Wolverine stories that are completely different without having to do an origin.
James Bond.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's the best
James
example.
Bond. Yep.
That's the best
example. Yep, that's what I'm waiting for from comic book movies.
And I still remember, like, way back during the Tobey Maguire movies, I remember Sony saying something like, we're probably going to keep making Spider-Man movies every so many years. And, you know, like, after Toby's done, we'll get a new guy to play him. And after he's done, we'll get a new guy to play him.
Yep.
It'll be like James Bond.
Yep.
And to me, that makes perfect sense. And we've even discussed before, it's no different than a comic book switching artists
and
writers.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. I mean, when a new artist comes in, the guy looks different anyway.
Yeah.
Why not when a new actor comes in?
Yeah.
And that's my deal. The only reason I don't fully count Andrew Garfield as like, the first one to do that is because instead of just coming out with a new Spider-Man movie like they should have, they completely basically remade the first Tobey Maguire
whole
one
thing.
And they shouldn't have done that. Spider-Man 4 didn't have to be called Spider-Man 4, and it didn't have to be a continuation of the Tobey Maguire movies. It could have still been the Amazing Spider-Man. You could have put him back in high school. It could have just been a new kid, all of that stuff. But that's kind of what I'm looking for, is someone who comes in and takes over the mantle without starting from step one, but instead just keeps continuing it. And I don't want Hugh Jackman to leave Wolverine. That's not my point with this at all. But my point is, I am looking forward to the first time that they do fully recast a big character without going back to step one.
Exactly.
Ed Norton almost sort of counts in that too. But, you know, Bruce Banner's not the big star that the Hulk is the big star.
Yeah.
And plus, they kind of did that retcon thing where they didn't really redo it, but they didn't really neglect the first one either. So again, it doesn't exactly fit the picture of what I'm talking about.
I really like that though with Incredible Hulk, because they didn't give us an origin story. They gave us a few small flashbacks where he was having visions to the whole thing, but it's almost like, well, they didn't retell the origin.
And you know, actually,
now
that I'm saying that, like I said it at first, like I was discounting it. Now that I'm really processing that through, yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Is the
fact that you don't really have to go back and redo it. You can just kind of move forward. So I guess technically, for what I'm talking about, Ed Norton is the first. It still just doesn't have that feel though, because like I said, Bruce Banner's not the big portion of that. Hulk is the big portion.
Another one that did that, which doesn't get much notice, was the Punisher did that as well.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, we're not going to hammer this into your head. We know that that his family was killed.
No joke. Nobody thinks about that, though.
Basically, everything I just said has been discredited. I sound like a moron right now. However, it's bringing to light the fact that there are, you know, they've been able to do something sort of like this already.
Right.
Now
scale,
we just need a higher profile version of it.
Everything you're saying is true.
Yeah.
when applied to the higher profile
films. Exactly.
Like, nobody thinks about Punisher Warzone because nobody, I don't think anybody saw that movie. Lord knows I
did. Lord knows I did.
But it, that's
how great
the
is
thing.
Ray Stevenson and like, everything he does?
Like, that movie turned out to be so good because it was exactly what Punisher should be. Over the top and violent.
Mayhem.
It was
mayhem.
Over the top and violent. And that's Punisher.
And that's another movie I was against the existence of. Wholeheartedly. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely egg in my face.
I think.
Egg in my face was Amazing Spider-Man, because I thought that was going to be complete crap.
See, I still don't love Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, I love
but
it.
You don't hate it.
I don't really hate it, though.
I love it.
I love it.
And
so
honestly,
much.
I feel like my biggest issue with Amazing Spider-Man is that they retold me the origin story.
But I'm okay with it.
Not me.
With what they're doing now, I'm okay with it.
It took me out of the whole thing, honestly. Like, I sat there watching it going, I already know this.
I'm right in the middle of you two. I didn't want them to do it, and I think it was a mistake. Seeing the results, I'm more fine with it than I thought I would have been.
Exactly.
And especially seeing where they're going with it, I still don't think it's the path they should have taken.
No,
but
I
think it's a more complete Spider-Man movie than the Raimi McGuire ones. And I don't mean that disparaging in any way. I think those movies were absolutely perfect for, you know, coming in and breaking the mold of comic book movies. I think they're exactly what they needed to be. I just think there was a certain element of Spider-Man that was always sort of missing from some of those movies, with some of the humor and with some of the CG and the action scenes, mm-hmm. and the way they were able to do his mobility, and yes, the cockiness along with the humor. Some of that stuff was slightly lacking, and I think they made that more complete with the Garfield Spider-Man.
I think Tobey Maguire also seemed much older than a teenage kid.
He did.
Than Garfield
seem, yeah.
did.
That's true. That's
Even
true.
Though Garfield's like
Which
30
is weird,
years old.
Yeah, because they're probably close to the same age. But yeah.
But you got more sense of teenage humor.
Yeah.
You're right. But I could have dealt with a, like we said, with the flashback in the Punisher and
yes.
Hulk, where it's like, mm-hmm. we're just going to do this mm-hmm. in like the first 5 minutes and get you up to speed on it.
Yeah,
and then we're going to go full.
Because I loved the Tom Jane Punisher. And again, Punisher's one of those weird characters, almost along the lines of what I always say about the Ghost Rider movies. When you look at the Ghost Rider movies, you go, well, those are kind of terrible. Well, yeah. Obviously, it's a terrible character, you know?
It's Ghost Rider.
It's terrible comics.
How can you go
it's
with
just
it?
Not that interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Punisher is a little bit different, but it's just the way the Punisher is written a lot of times is the more popular Punisher stories are the just absolutely over the top, you know, just crazy violence fests,
right.
you know?
Well, he's not a superhero.
And so,
he's
exactly.
a regular human.
But they made that Tom Jane movie, which I was like, all right, if you take that idea of the character and turn it into an old school low budget action movie, this mm-hmm. is the perfect way to do that, and
right.
it fits, it makes sense, it's all great, it's well acted, good guy, good bad guy, everything's great. I really want to see more of these. And then everything kind of fell apart and they came out with that Warzone movie, and I went, I want to see more Tom Jane, this looks ridiculous. I don't, you know, that guy does actually look the part pretty much better than Tom Jane did, but other than that, I don't think I like anything going into this movie. And then I saw it, and I'm like, okay, this is an actual, like, 3-issue story arc of a Punisher Warzone comic, where it's just insane, explosive, violent action.
Yes.
And is it the greatest movie I've ever seen? You know, no, it's not particularly well-acted.
But
it's not particularly well-put together. But, yeah, you can pop it in at any point and just watch someone explode and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Okay, when he shot that one dude with a bazooka,
he
friggin' rocket launched one
while
guy.
He was doing
when
that, like, he was, like,
that,
flipping across buildings and
he
just exploded.
And then he shot that guy point-blank
in the face
with a shotgun
at the end. Yep.
After
that
the guy told him just to hang tight, and he's like, no, I'm going to kill this guy right now.
I just remember you and I were both so mad about going to that because that was another one we previewed that because you work at the theater.
Yep.
I don't know if we've ever made that point, but you work at the theater, so we get to preview movies sometimes, and we were both not happy about going. It was one of those things where you were like, you want to go with me and watch this stupid Punisher movie, and I was like, if you're gonna make me, I guess I'll go watch this stupid Punisher movie. And then the whole time we're just laughing and giggling and everything at all these people like exploding, and we're just like, this is absurd. And that's exactly how the Punisher should be.
Absolutely, you know. And that's why sometimes you have to take a comic book movie and look at it on a certain level of respect and building a good story out of it and running with something big. And sometimes you got to look at a comic book movie and go, well, the source material is just kind of goofy. Let's see what they do here. And you got to be allowed to have fun with it, you know.
And exactly. And I always go to Punisher is like my Dexter go-to, where it's like, you know, people always want to be like, oh no, you should let the law take care of things. But then if those things happen in real life and guys just went out and killed bad guys, a lot of us would be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good job.
Like, deep down inside, we always want a guy to do that kind of stuff. But then when our morality sets in, we're like, no, you shouldn't do it that way. It's like, no. Do that. Go kill that bad guy.
Get the murderers off the street.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But then, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, you know what? If my family got killed by the hands of the mob, you're pretty much sure I'm going to devote my life to doing these things, especially if I have these skills.
Yeah. One time Dolph Lundgren was Punisher. Just throwing that out
that
there.
That did happen. And he was friends with Louis Gossett Jr.
It's true. Did you ever read the thing when Dolph Lundgren went to make a Captain America movie, actually wrote a script, I think?
Really?
Really? Yeah.
You know, he's like a physicist or something.
He's a genius.
Yeah.
He's an engineer physicist.
And he's He-Man.
Yep.
How great is Masters of the Universe?
I love Masters of the Universe.
I love that movie.
But everybody knows that.
I wish you could both see the faces on these two right now. I've never seen them happier.
Dolph Lundgren might be the greatest human being ever lived. I'm not joking. That man is all... Did you ever see that
entertaining
thing?
You win at life.
When he sings Elvis?
Uh-uh.
Oh, God. I got to show it to you. We might make it like a little...
a link.
Yeah.
Dolph Lundgren singing Elvis.
All right, so we just briefly touched on Spider-Man for a little bit, making a news
about on Punisher.
That came out of nowhere.
We did get
that's
on Punisher.
Not my notes here, Dave.
I know. We did not intend to talk about Punisher, but we did. So now we're back to Spider-Man because one of the other things that we got to see within this last week here is the trailer for The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yep.
And there is a lot going
Man,
on
that trailer,
in this trailer.
It's so
is
awesome.
Bananas.
It is bananas. First of all, for the longest time, I thought that the only villain in this movie was going to be Electro. Like, we knew that Paul Giamatti was cast as the Rhino, or that like there was going to be something with Rhino in here, but all the focus has been on Jamie Foxx's Electro.
Yeah.
And right before this trailer leaked... or came out, these movie poster images leaked. There was like a three poster set that all went together
at some casino in Vegas.
Yeah,
somebody
promote comic book movies.
Somebody snatched a shot of these three. It was like I said, it was three banners put together into one picture, and like you said, it was like 2 or 3 days before the trailer comes out. Somebody posts this online, and it's like what?
Right,
and then the Goblin's in there.
Yes, so we see. Something that's supposed to be Rhino on one poster.
Harry's gonna be in it.
Yeah,
well, Norman.
But we didn't know anything about Goblin at all. And all of a sudden, this movie poster comes out, and sure enough, that has got to be the Goblin in the middle of that poster because he's on the little hoverboard
Bat
thing.
Glider, he's green.
He's on the glider, he's green, he's in the distance. We can't really see him, but it's obviously Green Goblin. So everybody starts going, what the heck is going on? Now we've got Electro, we've got Rhino, and we've got Green Goblin.
I still need to see that picture of Green Goblin.
I haven't seen it yet. Well, the trailer came out.
Yeah.
The trailer's got all kinds of stuff going on.
Oh, bananas.
It is
for
nuts.
For a teaser, it's crazy.
Right.
You can't imagine what the real trailer's going to look like.
So, and the funny thing is like, we don't even see a lot of Electro in it until towards the end of the trailer.
That's the thing I first noticed. Because like you said, for the longest time, Electro's been the big thing talked about. And Jamie Foxx has been the one showing up on magazine covers and mentioning in interviews and whatever else. And every once in a while, you see a little picture of Paul Giamatti, but you never see anything Rhino.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, the trailer comes out. And like you said, like I mean, it's like a 2-minute and 10-second trailer
or
something.
Teaser.
And I think Electro shows up in the last like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
All of a sudden. And the rest of it's all about, mostly it's about kind of the... intrigue going into what Oscorp is all about.
Right.
And you get a little bit of whatever goblin that is. We think it's the Harry Goblin.
Yeah, it looks like it's Harry.
Yeah, it looks
goblin.
Much more like Dane DeHaan than it looks
Which
like.
Which is interesting. Like, he doesn't look like a Green Goblin from what we've seen. Like, not a common Green Goblin. Mm-hmm. Like, he's... I don't know. He's got, like, his hair all spiked up.
Yeah.
And
he looks a lot younger than the Norman they've got.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like Norman. It's most likely Harry.
And they have a big deal kind of in the trailer about Harry coming to Peter and telling him about how Oscorp's been keeping tabs on him.
Yeah.
But then they show a bunch of stuff with Harry where it looks like he's kind of looking at some of the experimental stuff. He's talking to his dad about... some of the advancements they've been making and how it can cure and this it, and that.
It doesn't always have to deal with him being Spider-Man. He could be working. I mean, he worked with Connor.
Yeah.
In the first one, and his dad worked there, so it could just be like a thing where it's like, we've been keeping an eye on you because you've been here a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think they had, and I'm trying to remember the first one, I think they had some inclination that the powers had come from something at Oscorp because they knew the lizard had been created at Oscorp from Kurt Connors and everything, and I think they knew Parker was working with him because they do that thing at the end where that figure in the shadows that everybody assumed was Norman, that we're still not 100% sure if it was or wasn't.
Yeah.
But they're talking about, at the end, you know, like the...
how much does the boy know?
Yeah, exactly. How much does Peter know and all of that stuff? So there's definitely some kind of connection between Peter's dad and some of this research, and they know that Peter's part of it, and we can just assume that they probably know he's Spider-Man.
I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
We don't know for sure, but we can make the assumption that there's... some kind of involvement in there, because they are keeping track of Peter.
Right.
And if they're watching him that closely, then they're going to see something somewhere.
Yeah.
But it really looks like they're building towards that whole, like, Oscorp is this evil empire thing, which is pretty awesome.
It's really awesome.
Yep, and they show...
Because I want to see Oscorp be that huge. Because it is that huge in the comics.
Uh-huh.
People, like, in the first Spider-Man go-around, you know, you see...
It was pretty much Norman. It wasn't really Oscorp. It was Norman. You know,
just Norman.
Yeah.
Oscorp's like the evil wing.
Yeah. Because even in the first
powerful it is.
Well, and remember, in the first batch of Spider-Mans, like, Norman wasn't even like. I mean, he was the figurehead of Oscorp, but there was like a board of directors who was about to oust him.
No.
Yeah.
That's when he turned into the Goblin and killed half of him and stuff like that. So he wasn't like fully in control of everything.
No. They need to know how powerful he is to where he is absolutely. On the Tony Stark level, but of being like, I can take over anything.
Yeah, he's like an evil Stark Enterprises, you know, like an evil any of these, you know. Yeah. So he's like, what if Iron Man were a megalomaniac? Exactly. Well, I guess he kind of is, but what if he were an evil megalomaniac?
Let's even go further, because I remember talking with another buddy of ours, Nick, when he would tell me about how huge Norm would be to a point where even during like Civil War or something like that, where he actually takes over the Avengers.
Yeah,
he becomes so powerful.
SHIELD. It was.
Yeah, he takes over SHIELD. Like, and that's what I want to see. I want to see something so ridiculously big.
Well, because he's kind of that cross too. It's you can relate it to a DC Lex Luthor.
Right.
Like Lex Luthor became president for a while.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I like where they're going. With
yeah, like
Norman
the people
is Marvel's Lex. Isn't
well, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah, the people same. In the know that he's evil, but the public perception doesn't necessarily know
and that's
that.
That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see.
And they have all but announced that they're building towards a Sinister Six in these movies. There's supposed to be four movies. So that's my thing with this trailer, because there's an air of hesitancy because it looks like there's just so much going on.
Yes.
But I also did not think I was going to like the first one that much, and as we've discussed, I ended up really enjoying it. So the Amazing Spider-Man franchise has bought itself the benefit of the doubt as far as I'm concerned. The overcrowding of the movie is definitely a little scary, but... you can't build to six guys if you don't at some point have three guys.
Right.
So if they can't handle doing a little bit of Rhino, a little bit of Electro, and a little bit of Goblin, then they're going to end up falling flat on their face anyway. Might as well get it out now. Plus, if they're going to do Sinister Six, I'd kind of like to see that be three and four, not just the last half of four or anything.
How does he take down six?
Well, he does it in the comics.
I know.
You know?
Isn't it crazy?
But it all depends. And at the same time, too, is we don't fully know. I mean, if they're doing the Sinister Six, is it going to be... because they tease Dr. Octopus.
Doc Ock and Vulture.
And Vulture,
you can see clear references to them in this trailer.
You can't see the guys, but you can see apparatuses that are clearly the Vulture wings and the Dr. Octopus arms.
Which apparently Oscorp is behind creating.
Yeah, and it's not... because sometimes they do the teasers and stuff. Like in the first Thor, you could see the Infinity Gauntlet. But it's if you know it's there and pause it at the right time and it's somewhere in the background. These they want you to see.
Yes, they are.
They clearly
there, and they threw them in the trailer. Yep. I mean, like they want you to know this stuff exists.
Exactly. So does that mean that the Sinister Six are Dr. Octopus, Vulture, Rhino, Electro, Goblin, and Lizard?
I don't know.
Are we still missing one or two? When they do the Goblin, and here's my biggest concern, I think, is that it looks like they're doing the Harry Goblin. And
first.
Yeah, and the order's kind of out of whack there because I want to see the Norman Goblin.
Yes.
But they're doing this thing with Norman that they started talking about in the first one where he's this sickly character. There's something wrong with him. They're trying to cure him. Norman's an evil dude. Like, the epitome of evil dudes. You know, the Norman Osborn I know and hate, I guess. So if they're doing a bit, you know, if they're just messing around with it and skipping past that part, then I don't like it at all. If they're doing some sort of bit as a four-movie story arc where he's using his son as a guinea pig to test all that stuff, and it's just more evil motivation of him trying to cure himself and gain this power, so that we get the Harry Goblin first, and I'm kind of off about that, but when 3 and 4 come along, I get a really evil Harry, or Norman Green Goblin, then I'm going to be super excited. So once again, there's things about this trailer that really make me nervous, but at the end of the day, the first movie bought some benefit of the doubt from me. I'm going to wait and see what really they're doing with this, and the only thing I'm going to actually walk away upset about is the look of the rhino, because I just don't get it.
No, looks bad.
He's just a big friggin' transformer this time around.
So big. That's the thing.
You called him like a Mechazord or whatever.
Yeah, he looked like a Power Rangers Megazord.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so big. That's the problem.
Well, and it's weird because I don't know if he's going to have different forms or what, because in the trailer it looks like he's just like a mech-suited like version of the rhino from the comics, but then on that weird movie poster we saw, it looked like a big four-legged actual rhino.
Yeah.
And it looked gigantic.
Yeah.
Like he was inside piloting.
I'm going to be 100%, and I don't know what's wrong with like the way my vision processes or what, but I look at that poster that leaked that we've been talking about, and I look at the rhino on that poster, and I can't tell you what's the head, what's the feet.
No,
it just looks like a big blob of metal.
It's just...
And that's what... In the trailer, at least, it looked like one point like a horn was coming down and he was standing on 2 feet.
Yeah.
They only showed him real briefly. It was already better than what I saw. But when I'm looking at that poster going, man, I don't even know what that is. Like, if I didn't know the rhino were in this movie, I would have no clue what in the world that was.
I don't like the mech suit robot, whatever it is. I don't like that at all. I don't.
No, because it reminds me of the suit that Obadiah puts on at the end of Iron Man.
Oh, the Iron Monger?
Looks like the Iron Monger.
Yeah.
That's it. It's like there's nothing other than that.
Oh, jeez. I don't really know. I'm still trying to process this whole thing, and I'm trying to give this the benefit of the doubt, and I'm obviously going to wait to make any judgments until I see the movie. But I already talked about how I wasn't super happy with Amazing Spider-Man. I didn't hate it, but I certainly didn't love it. And I left that movie kind of feeling, I don't know, I just wasn't excited at the end of that movie.
How could you not be?
I just wasn't. I just wasn't. And I honestly...
Did you remember that Stan Lee cameo?
It's
like my favorite Stan Lee cameo. Yeah.
Well, it was actually fun fighting with webbing all the time.
Yeah.
He literally used his webbing to fight.
Yep. And just, webbing and humor.
Yeah. And I love Spider-Man. He's like my
favorite.
And the
lizard was awesome looking.
I don't know. I don't really like the lizard.
What?
Yeah. I just didn't really like... I don't know. I didn't hate the lizard's look, but I wasn't in love with it.
Oh,
I like the lizard.
He looked like a Goomba from the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Which is like fine. It's really... It's I'm sitting here right now. I don't know how to argue anything you're saying. I don't even know if I want to argue anything you're saying. I'm just confused by it. Because you and I are the Spider-Man guys.
I know.
And so I just kind of assumed when I watched it... I was like, you know, I ended up really liking this. I can't wait till Dan sees it. And then you reacted how I thought I was gonna.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I don't know how to. I don't know what to say to make it better for you, or why I liked it more than you.
It's one of the few instances where we didn't quite see eye to eye, because we're usually very on the same page when it comes to this stuff. And I don't know. Maybe I've only still seen it the one time. Maybe I just need to watch it a second time.
That could do it.
I don't know. But the thing that really does worry me about the new one, because I was really excited going into the second one, because I'm like, all right, we got the origin crap out of the way now.
I agree.
Now we can just give me a good Spider-Man movie. I was totally cool with the way Jamie Foxx's Electro looks, because it looks like Ultimate Electro.
Yep.
And I'm fine with him looking like that instead of wearing the big, goofy, yellow lightning bolt mask and stuff.
Yep.
You know, I'm totally
Nobody wanted to see that in a real movie.
I'm totally fine with Ultimate version of Electro. But now that we know that we're getting Electro and Rhino and Green Goblin, and we're teasing Doc Ock, and we're teasing Vulture, and maybe Lizard's still around, I'm kind of getting the same nervousness that we're feeling towards the new Superman versus Batman.
Yeah.
Because we just talked about how cramming all those new DC characters into one movie is scary for us. I feel the same way about this.
I think we're reading a lot into the Doc Ock and Vulture thing. I think that's all we're going to get.
Well, we're still getting three villains, and if you guys remember, Spider-Man 3 had three villains.
Remember the difference, though. The whole thing we talked about DC, it's not the team-up, the mash-up. We're starting to learn that cramming that many characters can work if you do it right.
That's right.
The problem with the DC is the complete lack of planning.
That's true.
Because you look at DC and go, okay, they're aiming at this next movie and then reacting to figure out where to go next.
Right.
Marvel aimed at the Avengers five movies ahead of time.
Right.
This is a four-movie story arc they're running.
Right, that's
true. So, and whatever they're doing, whatever they're doing, they're building towards something. And that's the hope you can hold out. And the other thing is, like I said, we're in a comic book movie environment where we can be excited about the idea of seeing a Sinister Six movie.
Yeah.
We can't get to a Sinister Six movie without having at least three guys at some point.
And
so
I mean,
this is proving ground to build towards that.
I've always had the argument too that I never understood why there couldn't be just one random Spider-Man villain at the beginning of a Spider-Man movie that we see him fight before we get into the big fight with, you know. So I am okay with that. I just really hope. I think the only thing I'm really kind of nervous about is Spider-Man 3 really mishandled the whole Venom story.
Absolutely.
Oh,
and
big time. Everybody.
I mean, yeah, and we've talked about before how Venom needed to be like that. Should have been like a two movie story arc at least. And
if Spider-Man 3 were Spider-Man 3 and 4, it would have been a fantastic movie.
It would have been
a couple
of movies. But they took Sandman and Harry Goblin and Venom and they just tried to make them all work. And like Harry Goblin was bad but then also kind of good, and then Sandman was bad but also kind of good, and then Venom showed up for 5 minutes and then died.
Yep.
And it was like what is going on in this movie? Yep. Well, they went off the track with two.
Let's not forget.
Yeah.
Because 2 was supposed to be Lizard.
Yeah.
And the studio was like, we have this great script.
Yeah.
We don't think Lizard's going to make it in this movie. Put another big character. And they're like, well, we'll just put Doc Ock into the role.
Two is so widely renowned as such, like, one of the greatest superhero movies ever, Spider-Man 2. And Spider-Man 2 is fantastic, do not get me wrong. But go back and watch Spider-Man 2, and we've talked about this a ton of times.
Yes.
Spider-Man 2 is clearly a Lizard storyline.
Mm-hmm.
That at the last minute they went, I don't know if Lizard's going to sell enough toys.
let's put
Doc Ock in, and you know, just we'll go through Microsoft Word. We'll go find Lizard, replace Lizard with Doc Ock, and then make the movie. You know,
and they did, and they made it successful.
I mean, it worked.
That is not a knock on the movie. The movie's fantastic.
But at that point, you're like, okay, we can definitely tell they don't know what they're doing.
They started down that path of not knowing how to make a bad guy just a bad guy sometimes.
Yeah.
Because like you said, they did that with the Harry Goblin and with Sandman. Yep. And the
Doc
only
Ock
actual...
turned good too at the end.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. He was never bad.
Because he was never really a bad guy.
Yeah.
He was a good guy who went a little nutty.
Yeah.
And did some bad stuff, you know? And Harry was a good guy whose family drove him a little nutty.
Yeah.
And the Sandman was a good guy whose situation drove him a little nutty.
Yeah.
And Venom was just a jerk.
Yeah.
But even him, you know, until the end when he got the power, he wasn't an evil guy.
No.
He didn't have time to get evil. They didn't really set it up.
Yeah, and that's exactly it.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of instances like that. X-Men 3 was kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Like the X-Men, both the first two X-Men movies had a lot of characters, but they balanced them out well. X-Men 3 was another one of those of, you know, well, let's add more characters, sell more toys, and we don't care about anything else. And the more they cram in, the worse and worse it gets, and it really makes you scared. But for all of the Batman and Robins and X-Men 3s and Spider-Man 3s we have, now we have, you know, some solid X-Men movies to follow up. We have an Avengers with a lot of characters, you know, running around and joining up. And we've got some good examples of this kind of team-up type thing, too. And it's the process that they're building towards is making these epic movies that still can be contained within themselves while building towards bigger and bigger things so that they have a big payoff somewhere down the line. So that's all I'm saying with a Spider-Man movie. There's a very good chance they're going to screw all of this up like they have in the past.
Could be, yeah.
But there's also a decent chance that they're going to actually build towards something and do it right. And if I'm going to ever see the Sinister Six on the screen, at some point they have to give me an origin or a build or some kind of introduction to six characters. So doing three in a movie sounds like a lot, but if they can manage to dance the dance and do it in a skillful way, I'm going to be really excited with the results. So I'm going to hold out hope that that's what I'm going to see.
And here's what I'll go with that whole dance the dance thing is, like, what was great about Avengers was you saw them interact.
Yes.
That's what we need. Like, if you give me a Sinister Six, even if you give me these three in the next Spider-Man movies, and you give me these three villains, and they interact in one scene for like, less than 2 minutes, I'm sold. I bought into that. It's like, oh, okay. These three work as a team. It's fantastic. And then you could go their separate ways and do their whatever scenes you have. But I need to see them interact.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yep. And that was what was great about the first two X-Men movies. Is you still had a smaller cast, you didn't blow it up too big, and you saw them interact with each other.
Right.
And then you saw three, and it was like...
every mutant you guys could ever think of.
That's just another thing, too.
All these mutants, they're just here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Multiple Man X-Men Bad 3, Guy for
X-Men
some reason.
X-Men 3, biggest downfall X-Men 3 is you gave me Colossus and Juggernaut, and you didn't give me a Colossus-Juggernaut fight, and I'm done.
Yeah, right?
I'm out of here.
What was that nonsense?
Okay.
I think it's the second biggest downfall. The fact that you involved Brett Ratner was the first biggest downfall. But I digress.
Oh, poor Brett. All right. Well, speaking of the four-movie arc that they're going on with here with the Spider-Man franchise, the other bit of news that came out this week is, in a very similar fashion to what Hugh Jackman said about Wolverine, Andrew Garfield is saying that there's a possibility he may not return for The Amazing Spider-Man 4. Now, his actual quote says, I'm under contract for another one after this. As far as a fourth one, that's not anything to do with me. But yeah, I think that's what we're doing here is we've established the world and now we get to really play inside the world. So it's a very small quote where he just basically says that he's not under contract basically for a fourth movie.
Which, you know, it's by the book. It, you know what it comes down to? Money.
Well, I think,
that's what it comes
down
to.
It's very much...
Everybody's got a prize.
Everybody's got a prize. Well, that's number 10. Here's another thing, too. What if this next one blows up and everybody hates it? And then they come out with the third one and it sucks, too. Would you really want to be on the
fourth? Then he can bail.
That's Andrew Garfield very wisely setting an exit for himself.
That's the thing, this guy, he's an actor. Yeah. His job is not to entertain the comic book fan base.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
His job and his manager's job and his agent's job is to put him on a path to make a career for the next 40 years of his life.
Yep.
So, you know, if these next two movies bomb, they're like, hey, maybe you should step away.
That's exactly the deal. If two comes out and everybody hates it, he probably won't do a fourth. No. They'll probably wrap it up after three and then move on to something else. If two comes out and everybody loves it and Sony's willing to open up that pocketbook a little bit and whatever else to ensure that the fourth they've announced is viable, then he'll come back and do, that one more year's worth of filming or however long it is, and it'll be fine.
Hey, you don't have to do four. DC backs out on everything they've done.
Yeah, no kidding.
So just say you're going to do three. Yeah. It doesn't
matter. Here's what I don't foresee at all. I don't foresee them building a four movie story arc and the fourth movie being a totally different Spider-Man.
Right.
Because one of two things is going to happen. Two's either going to bomb and they're going to rethink the four movie thing, or two's going to be a moneymaker and they're going to pay him enough to come back for one more movie. It's not going to be that hard to extend a three out to a four.
Right.
From his perspective right now, he very well may have an exact idea of what four is supposed to look like and be perfectly willing to do it. It's still not wise of him to talk about being super excited about it until that contract is signed.
Exactly.
It also depends on what other movies he does and what his career does.
Right.
Too.
Yeah.
Right.
If he's having a Hugh Jackman type career where it's like, hey, I'm going to do this comic book movie and I'm going to do an Oscar nominated movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Every other year.
Yes.
Then I'll be like, sure, I'll play this for the rest of my life.
If nothing else, he may just be holding out for timing rights.
Yeah.
So that he can make another movie in between. It's just about keeping his options open, is my assumption.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, like, all of that stuff is exactly what I got out of that article when I read it. But, I mean, let's be honest, he said that one little line.
Yeah.
About basically not being contracted for the fourth
movie.
Or not knowing anything about the fourth movie.
Doesn't.
And all the news sites went, oh, he says he's not going to be in the fourth movie. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean?
That's like, how they run.
They took that one little quote, which he probably didn't even realize that he had spit out, and they turned it into a story.
Why would you ever think that would turn into a story?
Yes, exactly.
Remember, too, there's two different ways to look at this also. These guys get bombarded with these questions all the time. His mind's not always on Spider-Man.
Exactly. That's the thing.
He's got other projects working
for another movie, and they threw this in at the end of the interview, and he's like, oh, I'm only contracted for this, and that I can only talk about this much.
Yeah.
Very easily, that's all they said.
Yep. Very easily could have been. It could have been his way of circumnavigating stuff he's not sure if he's supposed to talk about or whatever else. It could also just be the simple fact, like I said, they don't always think about this stuff. They just did an interview with Ian McKellen not long ago, too, where he flat out said, you know, I don't always even understand the plot of these X-Men movies.
No.
You know, I don't fully
to.
Understand what's going on. And that's not a bad thing.
That's
it doesn't
his,
mean, yeah.
That's not his job.
Yeah,
that's
Ian McKellen's job.
Job
is not to be Magneto and fully understand it. His job is when the camera starts rolling to convince the audiences that
he's an actor.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good
he's
actor.
An
that don't even have to understand what's going
on. Exactly. Don't hate on your source material, but if it's not your life and you're still doing a good job for my entertainment, cool, whatever. The other thing I always go back to is the story we were talking about earlier between Spider-Man 1 and 2. The old Tobey Maguire ones.
Yes.
Tobey Maguire did Spider-Man and it made all the money. And then he went and did Seabiscuit. And then they were getting ready to start on Spider-Man 2 and Tobey Maguire was going, ah, my back hurts from all the Seabiscuiting. So I'm not sure how Spider-Man 2 is going to go. You know, you guys want to open your checkbook? I might be able to insure something. I don't know what's going to happen though between now and then. And Sony went, well, that's cool, bro. If you're hurt, you're hurt. Hey, do you have Jake Gyllenhaal's phone number by chance? And Toby's like, you know, I feel fine. I'm feeling much better now.
Oh God, I love that.
A lot of this is just posturing.
The studio that does that.
Well,
hey, guess what? We got line of people back here.
You know what?
Play.
I love.
And guess what? The audience will come see this guy just as much as they'll see you.
I love the actor who says, you know what? I'm pretty important. Let's renegotiate. Yeah. And I love the studio just as much who goes, you're not necessarily, so here's where it is, you know. That's a battle. That's an industry battle right there.
Capitalism at its best.
Exactly. Whoever wins. Either way, you can make a pretty good movie. So, you know, you go out and get yours.
And
run
Toby got paid.
Absolutely.
Let's not act like
he's
hurting.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Residuals, baby.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely, you know, I'm still going to see the movie, and I'm kind of excited to see the movie. I've got, a few worries about it. I will say I love the Spider-Man costume in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as they showed that, I was like, yes.
Yep.
That's the best Spider-Man costume that's been in a movie yet, in my opinion.
It's most comic booky.
I love most comic booky. It's bright, it's colorful, it's got the big white eyes, which
can
I've always been
a fan
of.
Can you believe that? Was that five movies in? They finally...
I know!
Like, somebody was like, hey, this is what he looks like in a comic. Can you do that?
And I was okay with the Maguire one, but man, even in comparison, this one is just like, it blows that one away.
Well, that is the thing. Did the Maguire one ever change throughout three movies?
No, it stayed the same.
And, which except, is kind of cool.
Except for the black costume.
Because it lasted three movies.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, every other movie is like, we gotta change it every
In fairness, even the black costume only changed color schemes.
It was the same
look.
The
design was exactly the same.
And I dig Amazing Spider-Man costume just for the fact of it showing him making it. But this one's cool.
It was quite
just
a bit
because
different.
It's like, oh my God, here's the giant eyes.
And I've always like been totally cool with like different Spider-Man costumes anyway, because he's worn a lot of costumes.
But doesn't he tear him up like every time he fights?
And
basically?
Like he's changed his looks, and even though he always goes back to the original look at some point, it's not uncommon that he's worn different looking Spider-Man costumes.
They're not that far off.
And right. I mean, like, it's still recognizable as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I was totally fine with the Amazing Spider-Man costume.
But
the Amazing Spider-Man 2 costume is amazing.
I
love it.
Yep.
It's cool.
Getting back to your love of, or expanding on your love of alternate costumes, man, the day they make a Ben Reilly Spider-Man
movie.
I'm all in.
Yeah, you were just going to go ballistic, aren't you?
Spider-Man's clone, and most people hate the clone saga, but for whatever reason, I like the Scarlet Spider. And
You know, you can love the Scarlet Spider and still hate the clone saga.
That's true.
Because for a long time, when they started that, it was epic beyond belief. It's when things got crazy towards the end and completely went off the rails that it ruined Spider-Man for years to come.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
There was an old Spider-Man story from very, very early on where...
90s, right?
The Jackal... No, well this I'm talking about
I like
originally.
How you say old. Yeah,
no, originally,
90s.
Like,
so we're talking
like 70s, we're talking about.
That's when it started.
A character called the Jackal had cloned Peter Parker, and the two fought each other. The clone Spider-Man thought he was the real Spider-Man.
That's
kind of
awesome.
The real Spider-Man defeated him and thought he had killed him and ended up putting him in this smokestack to kind of, you know, make the body disappear and went on with his life. Well, when the 90s came around, all of a sudden...
It's kind of dark.
Yeah, it got a little bit dark. But all of a sudden, the 90s came around and they did this storyline where the idea of it was that Peter had woken up in that smokestack and thought he was the clone... And realized that real Peter had thought he was dead, and so he moved on and went and tried to make a new life for himself. And then years and years later, they somehow figure out that the one that woke up and thought he was the clone was actually the real Peter Parker. And the clone had been Peter Parker for all this time. And so he came back to kind of not necessarily reclaim his... position, but he kind of came back. He came back into the world, and there was a lot of hoopla. And he had taken on the name of Ben Reilly, which was Aunt May's maiden name and
Uncle Ben's
first name.
Right.
And he put on a hoodie with red spandex, and there was a spider on the hoodie, and he became the Scarlet Spider. And then, when the story first started, you were like, "It was groundbreaking. It was cool. That was such a bizarre idea. It's mind blowing. Everything's great." Now. You know, a year or so and however many issues in, then you find out that clone Peter is actually real Peter, but he's not actually real Peter. He's actually clone Peter. He just thought he was real Peter. And real Peter started to believe he was clone Peter, but then was actually real Peter. And then all of a sudden there's 1,000 Spider-Mans running around and 1,000 Jackals. And they clone Norman because Norman had been dead for so long or whatever else. I think that's where he came back to.
So that's where they
something.
Lose everybody.
But yeah, they just went completely off the rails and it turned into crap. But at the beginning of it, it was a fantastic story.
I always liked that costume.
And Dan
too.
Loves that costume.
I don't even... It's so... I mean, like, yeah, he's wearing a blue hooded...
He looks like Carnage.
He was wearing a blue hooded sweatshirt over a red Spider-Man costume, but I like that for some reason.
Yeah, it's a neat looking costume.
It's a cool looking costume.
Like I said, I don't love it nearly as much as you do, but it is a cool looking costume.
I'm just saying,
when that shows up in a movie, you are going to go ballistic.
I'll be like, yes, I'm the only one. Yeah.
That's an insane storyline.
It got real crazy.
I'm probably butchering it, and it's nuttier than I just described.
Yeah.
It started off cool.
Yeah, started off fantastic, and then just completely lost track of itself.
Yeah.
They will never do that
movie.
No.
They will never
do
that
movie. No. If they're wise.
We've already done Superman clone. We've already done...
Superman 3?
Superman 3.
Love Superman 3.
One of the greatest fight scenes of all time.
That's one of my... That's in my top three favorite cinematic scenes of all time, probably, as bizarre as it is.
Did you like the Oblivion ripoff of it?
It's not also in my top three, if that's what you're asking. But yes, I did appreciate the homage.
Oh my god, it's so awful.
No, Oblivion was a cool flick. Oblivion is an amalgamation of like 15 different sci-fi movies.
It is.
With Tom Cruise. I liked that.
True. I will hand that to you.
Oh, and he's working on a new Jack Reacher.
Jack
and
too.
I almost forgot through this whole podcast and didn't talk about the biggest movie news in the history of movie news.
All right, the biggest movie news.
All right, Peter Berg is finally working on a sequel to The Rundown.
Rundown 2?
The Rundown 2.
Which
is Electric Boogaloo? Or is it Back in the Act?
Seriously, no. Dude, the Rundown is my favorite non-franchise action flick since the first Die Hard.
It's so good. I love
it. It's so much fun to watch. And the whole time, it's another one of those movies very similar to Big Trouble in Little China, where I always thought, where in the world was the second one of these?
Where's the franchise?
Yes.
You know, they made a sequel to Escape from New York, and they skipped the sequel to Big Trouble in Little China. It makes no sense whatsoever. None. And I always thought the whole time, all these action movies, they're cheap to make. They've got, you know, like... I mean, The Rock was on the rise, but... He's a low enough budget, bankable star. They could have gotten him pretty easily. Stifler is always going to be Stifler. Entertaining, but not too expensive. Why in the world wouldn't there be four of those by now?
True.
And finally, just today, and I hope it's not rumor. It didn't seem like rumor, but somebody sent me a link to an article where Peter Berg, the director himself, was saying, you know what? We've got guys working on the script. I've talked to Dwayne. Everything's moving along. We want to do a rundown, too. And I'm excited.
Oh, well, we live in an era where we're doing sequels like 10 years later from the original.
That's not uncommon.
So it's not
anymore.
Uncommon.
Yeah.
And that's where we are. We're 10 years
everybody
away.
Everybody loves The Rock. Yeah. Peter Berg's making movies that everybody loves.
Right, yeah. Now,
come out with that Lone Survivor movie with Marky Mark.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to
say. That's going to be amazing.
Rock was just starting out in acting when The Rundown came out. Now he's big, you know, big time in the movies. So
when Peter Berg does something like low, basic, just flat out special effects, stunts, action stuff, it's amazing.
Yep.
Every time.
Yep.
I've never seen Battleship. It might have been too big.
It's nowhere near as bad as the trailers made it look and people made it sound. I mean, it's like I said, it's one of those movies you got to go into knowing it's a movie based on Battleship.
Right.
You know, I mean, you've got to keep a certain perspective when you watch stuff like this.
Exactly.
Knowing that,
it's probably fun.
Yeah, you know, it's a fun movie.
Nobody knows how much John and I love Peter Berg.
We love Peter Berg so much.
So much.
I could watch The Kingdom once a week.
The Kingdom might be the most underrated movie. I've never heard anybody ever talk about The Kingdom except for you and I.
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal.
It's so good.
It's Jamie Foxx's best movie.
Rundown is one of my favorite action flicks, man.
Rundown is so good.
Oh, God, it's so much fun.
I loved that movie.
It's
even
fun.
As an actor.
It's fun.
It is
Collateral.
Fun. It is fun.
Yeah.
Very Bad Things.
He's a great actor, too.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's a good place to wrap up our discussion.
We've gone
way off topic of the Marvel stuff now. But you guys have any final thoughts on any of that? The Spider-Man stuff or any of the...
Yeah, nothing we haven't covered.
I think, I'm excited.
I'm
excited.
I'm nervously excited about...
That's a good way to explain it.
I'm nervously excited about Ben Affleck being... Batman.
Oh yeah,
and I'm
nervous for him.
Nervously nervous about the rest of that movie.
Nervous for Ben.
I think he's gonna kill it. I feel bad if they're.
Here's my problem with that. Like I said, that's the only thing I'm really super 100% sure I'm looking forward to about that movie, having not seen anything else.
Right.
But I also know that if that movie is the disaster that I fear it may be. Even if he's the best part of it, he's going to take all the blame for it.
True, but I don't care.
You know?
Because if they show me Ben in that cowl with a 5 o'clock shadow, looking thin, fit, the town style Ben, I'm going to be sold.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sold?
I'm going
to
be sold.
I'm super excited about Bryan Singer coming back to the X-Men franchise.
Totally. Yes, me too.
I'm really excited. And then I'll go back to the nervous optimistic about Amazing Spider-Man 2. The trailer looks too full to me. However... The first one bought them some leeway, and the idea that they're building towards a big group of villains means that at some point they got to travel this path. So I'm going to hold out benefit of the doubt and hope that it's good and be excited about it until I see otherwise.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there we go, guys. So we would definitely love to hear your opinions on all this, too. I mean, do you agree with us? Do you disagree? Share any of our same fears and thoughts? We'd love to hear from you guys. Feel free to post the comments right there on pixel-dan.com where this podcast is posted. Or, you know, feel free to send us tweets on Twitter or emails, anything like that. It's always great hearing from you guys. And we'd love to hear what you think about the podcast in general. So, John, where can anybody follow you at? You shout out your Twitter account or anything like that.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at jleonard31. I'll throw out my normal disclaimer. I don't tweet a whole lot, but the more you guys that pick up on me and maybe talk at me, the more of a response you're going to get. Right now, I'm a very big responder more than I am a thought giver. So if you guys send me some questions, comments, concerns, anything like that, there's a better chance you'll get some activity out of me. And then you can find me here every 2 weeks.
That's right. Right here in the Geek Easy.
That's right.
Awesome. And Ryan, thank you once again for joining us here, and hopefully we'll have you back on in the future for more movie griping with us.
Right on.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
Yes, I want to plug... Well, I can't plug the two things I just worked on because they already aired. but I would love to plug the...
You can tell everybody what you just worked on.
Okay, I'll tell everybody. We just finished The Sound of Music on NBC, which got huge ratings. It is going to air again, I think, December 18th. I believe. And then Bonnie and Clyde just aired on A&E, Lifetime, and the History Channel, which I'm sure will be playing again as well on those channels, so check those out. And then check out the Academy Awards coming March 2nd. Ellen DeGeneres is hosting. I'm working on that as well. So please stay tuned. And
will we see you on TV?
I don't know. I'm supposed to tuxedo up, so I'm
you never know then. That's on ABC, right?
It's on ABC, yep. March 2nd.
You're gonna win. Everybody's going to be best watching assistant. It.
Best assistant, yeah. God damn. Why don't they make that award yet? My hope is that I become so awesome as an assistant that during the Oscars death reel of people who have died in the past year, you know, I get up there.
Wow.
I don't know.
That'd be weird.
Yeah, that would be a little
bit hard. That is my hope.
Someday. I'll be really sad when I just see your picture up there. I'll be like, why didn't I know Ryan died?
Well, you know,
this is a terrible way to find out.
How about
I think that'd be the best way to find out, yeah. I just know I don't want you to rush the stage and blow our Oscar acceptance speech before we actually win one. So keep yourself calm.
I know. Well, that's what's horrible now is because Ben Affleck is so huge now because our whole deal was...
one of the things we were going to chastise the Academy for was not recognizing Ben Affleck properly. But now they are doing
that. Now they're doing it. So we're like,
so you got nothing.
We still have Munich, though.
That's right.
We still have
that's
Munich.
That's right. Awesome. Munich was robbed.
All right, guys. As always, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at PixelDan. Feel free to, you know, post any comments or anything about the Geekeasy right there. And like John, I'll be happy to get back with you or chat with you about topics here on the show. The podcast is available in multiple formats. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, through Podbean. So whatever your desired way of listening to the podcast is, please hit that subscribe button or follow button. Give us a rating. Help us spread the word on the Geekeasy podcast. So, until next time, I am Pixel Dan.
I'm Jonathan Leonard.
I'm Ryan Needham.
And we will see you guys right here next time.
The Geekeasy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geekeasy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the Geekeasy Podcast.